93 FM, 106.7 WJFK,
Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
I said to Debbie before that I find it odd that my tears are rolling from a good afternoon. Hi, Jer, and they come out. And I realize that I am so deeply touched by all of your love and all of the good stuff you've done for me. If I get through this, I'm buying everybody a car. And as Louis told me, slowly. Wait a second. There was just one guy I forgot that's on the stage. I think I should recognize him or he'll never come here again. The king and the leader of my support, Ed McMahon. I left you for last. Look at that. Look at that. Look at what he gets. You deserve it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Hey there, Georgie girl. You're swinging down the street so fancy free. Nobody you meet could ever see the loneliness there inside you. Hey there.
Oh, no. He brought his son with him. He's got his child with him.
He's a 40-year-old married man, Clifford Wallach, screen name PhotoFix. He's here to meet a boy who told him online he was 14.
Coming in the back door.
Holding his son's hand, the 40-year-old walks into the house.
Here you go.
I got to tell you something, and I'm going to tell you just straight up right now. I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a story on adults dating children. And since you have your child here, I'm not going to pursue this.
Okay.
But I think you know what you were doing here, don't you?
No, I was just going to take some rules.
My point is, because your child is here, I think it'd be best if you just went ahead and left.
Yeah, I agree. I'm never going to do this again.
Since the police know the man has his son with him...
Sir, right there. You come here. Let go of the child.
Please give me my son, please. Please, I want to stay with my son.
That's not an option for now, sir.
I didn't do nothing wrong. I was
okay,
only
coming
to take somebody to lunch. I can't feel my hands. Please.
Have you heard? I'm doing my morning show at night.
Something's been going on lately. Some deep feeling that you need to confess to your best and only friend.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just say it. Say what? Just say it, because I already know. Oh, man, I love this.
Don't get me wrong. I love Don more than anybody. My point is, we don't know if Tony was behind it.
It's payback for Vito.
So why did they blow up the wire room?
Balls on this to blow up a store. You call that balls? Balls is you look a guy in the eye while you jam an ice pick to his lung.
I meant balls as a nerve. Gall.
I know what you meant. Far as I'm concerned, this is like 9/11. Tony wanted our attention? Fine. He got our attention. Now we wipe him off the planet.
You know that fat sucker says I look like the Shah of Iran?
Who does?
Tony. I never got that at all.
It's irrelevant, Phil. But he's testing you all the time, and you keep indulging him.
You're right. But whack a boss? I won't do that.
It's been done before.
And it was wrong then.
Eye for an eye then, huh? Pick somebody over there.
Congratulations. This is Max Baer Jr., Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies, and you just won the... CBS Celebrity Burp Contest.
Nothing is more important than the simple act of people getting together.
Good. Could I have one more go, Lawson, please? Sorry.
What?
Could I have just one more take of that, sir?
Why? I just did it right.
Yeah.
I'm not used to having more than one person in there. One more word out of you and you go. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
I take directions from one person under protest. But from two, I don't sit still. But who the hell are you, anyway?
No, I'm the engineer.
Well, why the hell are you asking me for another one?
Well, I thought there was a slight bonk, and I would like, just like to be safe.
What is a gonk? Do you mind telling me what that is?
A bang from outside.
A bang from outside.
We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there. Do you really mean that?
So in other words, I'd start half a second late.
Don't you think you really want to say July over the snow? Isn't that the fun of it?
If you can make it almost when that shot disappears, it'll make my...
I think it's so nice that you see a snow-covered field and say every July, peas grow there. We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there. We aren't even in the fields, you see.
Yeah, we are.
We're talking about them growing and she's picked them.
Yeah.
On what?
In July.
I don't understand you then. What must be over for July?
When we get out of that snowy field.
When I was out, we were onto a can of peas, a big dish of peas when I said in July.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, always. I'm always past that.
You are?
Yes. Well, that's about where I say in July.
Can you emphasize a bit in July?
Why? That doesn't make any sense. Sorry. There's no known way of saying an English sentence in which you begin a sentence with in and emphasize it. Get me a jury and show me how you can say in July. Yeah, I think you'll forgive me by saying so. That's just stupid. In July. I'd love to know how you emphasize in and in July. Impossible. Meaningless.
I think all they were thinking about was that they didn't want to.
He isn't thinking.
Austin, can we just do one last...
Yeah?
And it was my fault. I said in July. If you can leave every July.
You didn't say it. He said it.
It's every July.
Your friend. Every July?
So after the show...
No, you don't really mean every July.
It is. That's
but that's the best bad copy. It's in July. Of course it's every July. There's too much directing around here. Norway. Fish fingers, Findus, Norway. We know a certain fjord in Norway... near where the cod gather in great shoals. There, Jan Stangeland.
Fetch some more on that shoals thing, because you roll it around very nicely.
Yeah, roll it around, and I have no more time. You don't know what I'm up against. Because it's full of things that are only correct because they're grammatical, but they're tough on the ear, you see. Yeah. This is a very wearying one. It's unpleasant to read. Unrewarding. Because Findus... please the cod at sea, and then add a crumb crisp coating. That's tough, crumb crisp coating. I think, no, because of the way it's written, you need to break it up, because it's not as conversationally written. What?
Take crumb out.
Good. Here under protest is beef burgers. We know a little place in the American far west where Charlie Briggs chops up the finest prairie-fed beef and tastes... This is a lot of shit, you know that.
Yeah.
You want one more?
Yes.
More on what beef?
You missed the first beef, actually, completely.
What do you mean, missed?
You're emphasizing prairie-fed.
But you can't emphasize beef. That's like he's wanting me to emphasize in before July. Come on, fellas, you're losing your heads.
Right.
I wouldn't direct any living actor like this in Shakespeare. Well, you do this. It's impossible.
Austin, you did six last year, and by far and away the best, and I know the reason.
The right reading for this is the one I'm giving it.
At the moment.
I spent 20 times more for you people than any other commercial I've ever made. You are such pests. Now, what is it you want?
Dorothy.
In your depths of your ignorance, what is it you want? Whatever it is you want, I can't deliver because I just don't see it.
That was absolutely fine. It really was.
You can't give me worth it. No money is worth it.
Time for a commercial.
Now let's talk to Bob in Westchester. How are you, Bob?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, thank you.
First, I want to say that I never missed a show, and I really appreciate it.
Wow, that's listening.
And I just want to say that I really appreciate the topic you're covering this morning regarding full-blown AIDS and the fact that just because people lead a lifestyle that where they get the full-blown AIDS, it doesn't mean they're going to HE double hockey sticks just because they've, gotten the full-blown AIDS either from having an unclean taint or from being BM eaters on the Don and Mike show. And I think that it really is interesting that although I believe I am going to HE double hockey sticks just for...
Well, anyway, we hope some interesting people. Well, anyway, we have been dealing.
Good comeback. Thank you for Orson. It's been so long.
Thank you.
Thank you for the late, great Orson Welles.
Well, you know, we're going through the tapes and finding out which ones will make it digitally with us.
Yeah.
To the new dig.
Don't ever lose that one.
Yeah, please. As opposed to tie digs. Our new dig.
Fellas, you're losing your head.
Our new bachelor pad. Oh, Mike, here we go.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or let's see, or it's between 2 and 6 or 1 and 5 and out in Sacramento and out that way, noon to 4.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right, and... I just remember, I don't want to feel guilty about playing...
Hello.
...a song by... You know, yeah. I think, you know...
Right, that all kind of passed now, or...
Yeah, but...
Hello!
It's him. I mean, they
did get him a jury.
They could have been the guy on Dateline, for God's sake.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
And today they have the episode where Chris Hansen walks in on Michael Jackson.
Oh, boy, wouldn't that be something?
I'm watching. That's where I'm watching.
Well, you never know. You never know. They go over to Europe or Dubai or wherever that is.
Mike, I never do this to you. What might Chris Hansen sound like?
Mr. Jackson, when I was back in the room, I noticed that you were in your jumpsuit attempting to solicit sex with a little boy. You're going to be busted. Mike, you're grounded.
Hello. Thank you, Mike. Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, Don.
You're all me.
Hi there.
Hello.
What did I get out there? Will you say we appreciate it?
Yeah.
Oh, hi there.
I like the fact that you can't respond because the door is not open. But you also notice that the microphone is on, but it is very, very...
He is being so low good up today.
There he is.
Ta-da!
That is that. There he is.
Mentally retarded.
How's your good frightening air horn?
How's your sucky sopranos?
Yeah. Oh, boo. Boo indeed.
Right.
Boo.
Boo, boo.
Boo. And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Flippin' Banana and all the ships at sea. And now, wearing their Gandolfini signature model berets, it's Don Geronimo and Mike Owen.
Thank you.
O'Mara.
Thank you. Right, Rob. Of course, Jackson 5 is who we start with today. I want ye back. This is the Don and Mike Show. New episode, everybody, on this Monday.
Monday.
06-05-06.
I got a Mike Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Buzz is the only one. Here's your phone numbers, kids. 877-365-3636. That's the main number. If you got 800-636-1067. For a limited time from D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. We're also on the web at DonandMikeWebsite.com. You can listen live there. And you want to email us, do such.
Right. DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Very
you just email and John crumples them up. And I understand the other day he made something like 87 in a row.
Yeah, man. He's great. He's got the old traditional wire waste baskets.
It's all
terrific.
You know, cause another one would come in. It would be like, email Don and Mike Show. Let's see, what is this? And it would be, they suck. And immediately go, okay, and bingo.
And he doesn't just do jump shot style. He actually has the hook and everything.
Yeah, so when he gets to like 50 hate emails in a row, sometimes he'll switch it up. I've seen him do lefty.
Yep. Yeah, it's fantastic. He's an ambidextrous guy.
Good in the past. Have you seen him do his hacky sack stuff?
Oh, where he bounces on his foot and then into the trash can and then into the strawberry swirl ice cream?
Right.
Incredible.
Okay, before the weekend talk begins, before anything else happens, tomorrow is maybe going to be the jivest day in recent history. 6606.
Okay, go ahead. Keep dreaming it.
Yeah. It, if you will.
Jive. Really? You know what? You're a brave man. You're a very brave man. Here you go. Right out of the chute, you're setting the table for disaster.
We've already pointed out. I mean, we've had it proved that really the sign of the devil is not 666. Actually, it's...
Ladies and gentlemen, can I just distance myself from my co-host?
What is it again, Robbie?
It's 616.
616.
That's an area code. And what? Nothing happened.
616 was last Thursday, right?
Follow him right into the abyss, Rob. Go ahead.
So mainly I see it as a great promotion for that movie that's opening tomorrow, The Omen.
Right. So, I've seen a trailer for that. It looks pretty good, actually.
We're going to be doing something tomorrow on the show, and we got to put the call out right now.
Yeah.
For Tom Gavin. Tom, how would you like to be wearing a devil suit tomorrow in front of the radio station? Girls can come up and kiss the devil.
Yeah.
Win a dollar. And you can tell us what it's like being Satan.
Can they run up and down the path out there? Can they run for the devil?
Of course not.
I wouldn't say run with the devil because he really isn't going to join you.
Right. The problem here is that we got no way to get a hold of Tom. So, Tom, we need you to call us.
Are you concerned?
No. Rob? No, not at all. Rob, can you tell us what type of devil suit we have secured for Tom following up on his highly successful Easter Bunny performance?
He has a crotchless...
No. I'm kidding, of course.
We have secured for him horns.
Good.
A forked tail.
Is it the kind of mask that, like, envelops his whole head?
I don't know. We'd have to ask Joe. He picked it up today. I think it might just be horns.
All right.
A forked tail, a pitchfork, and a sweeping red cape.
Wonderful.
Perfect.
So we got the suit.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And we
kiss
can
the devil.
Dress Tom up outside. And
is it for women only, or can men come by and kiss the devil?
Oh, sure. Come on.
Anybody can kiss the devil.
It's your chance.
First come, first serve.
Mike, hold on. God damn, we got 8,000 devil. There are so many devil songs out there. But we also have somebody calling in.
Who could it be?
Didn't take him long.
Hello,
Tom.
Hello. Hey, hello.
Hello.
It's Curly.
Hi there, Tom.
Hey, Curly.
Figured I'd give him, you know, just to motivate him to come down and be the devil, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, Tom. Gavin.
Yes.
Tom, do you know what tomorrow is? Tomorrow is 06.
06. 06. 07.
No, no, it's
no. 06.
No, stop.
06. 06.
Right, 06. And what does that mean? Any idea?
It's devil.
It's devil. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Devil. Can we hear your best devil voice? Right.
Listen, I don't want to quote the critics before the reviews come out. I predict the role he was born to play.
I'm a fucking kidding.
And we'll get you a comfortable chair. You want to be the devil tomorrow?
Yes!
Yeah.
No!
Oh, he's excited about it.
Yes! So, Tom, if you would like, you can come down to the radio station.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
You look like an angel.
You look like an angel.
Yeah, here's the part.
Walk like an angel.
Yeah, walk like an angel.
Give you a devil suit, Tom.
Talk like an angel.
Those feet are up to
today?
No. It'll be ready for you tomorrow. Hold on a second.
You're the devil in disguise.
No.
Hey, how are you?
We're just playing some devil music for you, Tom.
Devil there, Tom. We have the suit already, Tom.
Are you? Good.
All you got to do is just show up.
Are you excited, Tom?
Yes!
Sure. Why not?
Hey, guess what, guys?
What,
Tom?
These girls from California called me this morning from MySpace.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they hot?
They're hot. They want to TF me.
They want to TF you?
I want to TF them. They call me Mustard.
They call you Mustard.
Colonel Mustard.
Right? Why do they call you Mustard?
Because I...
Oh, Mustard.
The Mustard means monster. Oh,
that's right. Let's say that.
Oh, hold on. I get jokes. You use that one, Mustard. Okay, I get it.
Hey, I got a joke for y'all.
Yeah?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The devil.
The devil who?
The devil coming to Georgia.
Hey, I like that.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, look, he's got it for you. Can you hear that, Tom?
Yep.
Tom, why don't you sing along with us?
I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, the devil.
The devil went
down to Georgia.
Yeah, that's it.
When he came across this young
man, right?
And
the devil left it all.
Give the devil a
I bet a fiddle of gold against his soul to think I'm better.
Here we go now.
The boy said, my name is Johnny. But I'll take your bet, you're going to regret it. I'm the best that ever been.
That's right. Get your soul.
Very nice, Tom.
Very nice, Tom.
Wow. On the Today concert series, Tom Gavin. Right down here at Rocket.
You called the role he was meant to play.
Okay, Tom, you know, for anyone who's never heard you before on the show, and imagine someone just tuning down the dial today and just hearing this for the first time. How old are you, friend?
47.
Tom? How old are you, Tom? Tom?
47.
What are you doing to the phone, Tom?
No, I just switched phones over.
Ah,
sounds better.
In your control center?
Yep. Yeah. Command post. Command post, buddy.
Command post.
That's right.
Command post.
All right. Well, Tom, we will look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Showtime. You'll be outside, comfortable in your devil suit.
Devil suit.
You can enjoy it, Tom.
Yeah, buddy.
You already have a perfect. You have a very good devil voice.
Where's Charlie at?
He's really excited.
Charlie.
Hello, Tom.
Ha ha. Whoa, it's Charlie.
Yeah, it's Tom.
Hey, where's Satan?
Oh, he'll be here tomorrow, Tom. let's not leave it in the locker room, son.
Yeah, you'll be having a chat with him tomorrow, Tom.
Tom will be on our star stage tomorrow.
Okay.
In one of his last public appearances here at the Fairfax, Virginia studios.
Yes, get a chance to see him while you can.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe his last appearance.
Bye now, Tommy.
Joe?
Oh, yeah, hold on.
Hang on.
What would you want?
And I'm picturing, you know, I know it's the devil horns, but I sure hope it's the... It's the whole, like, skin cap that surrounds the face.
I don't think it is. I think it most likely is, like the thing that... the thing that Geordi wore on Star Trek. One of those things that chicks... Yeah. What do you call that thing?
Hair barrette. I don't know. One of those
head clamp.
Yeah, he just puts it on his ears. He's got the antenna.
Then he's also got the red cape, and
it's the sexy double costume.
He's got the pitchfork. I was hoping for a tail. Now, does he get a tail?
I think Rob said he's got a tail.
He's got a tail. Well, then there you go.
And it's sexy, which is, you know, at a lot of Halloween costume contests, it's a very sexy look for Tom. In his chair outside tomorrow. It's going to be exciting.
Kiss the devil for luck.
There you go. That's called...
kiss him right on the top of his head.
Mm-hmm. Or wherever. Let's call just one office back, but just to make it different just today, let's have the phones not work.
Are they working?
This is John.
Ah, there you go. Hi, Yanni.
Hello.
Hey, where's your retarded brother?
He's right here.
And he's having a Monday already, I can tell everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Joe.
Yes.
Pleased to be describing the devil suit for Mike and for everybody else.
Well, it's a cape, it's the pitchfork, it's a tail, it's the horns. It's down in my car. I can run down and get it.
Well, can you just describe the headgear to Mike?
Well, I think I couldn't really see it in the bag, but I think it's, you know, kind of like bunny ears, only it's devil horns.
Right.
You know how those things are on, like a plastic thing that fits on your head?
So there's no hood.
So maybe it is the hood. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, I'll run down and get it. We'll take a look at it.
Then we'll know.
Okay.
Then we'll know.
Okay. How was your weekend, Joe?
Not too good.
Why?
Saturday spent my time running back and forth to the bathroom.
Oh, really? Would you have the stomach flu?
You have sick poops?
Oh.
Really?
I'm telling you.
Something you ate?
Words are coming hard today. So
I don't know. I don't know if it was something I ate or if it was something I picked up Wednesday night, you know, from the unwashed hands that I shook.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Something with a 48-hour incubation, Joe.
Perhaps.
Yes, Joe. I'm sure you're sick because you were out meeting our listeners.
It's possible. I get sick every time I meet the listeners.
Do you really?
Yeah, and I get sick every time I'm around Tom, so I'm expecting by Wednesday or Thursday I'll have to go through it all again.
You know, maybe rubber gloves might be in order for Tom's appearance tomorrow.
Joe, why do you think that would be? Because the rest of us met all of the people every time we have an appearance. We're around Tom. Now, granted, I'm not around him as much as his best friend Mike, but, you know, I shake his sweaty hand and everything. Why do you think you're the only one that gets sick?
I don't know. I guess I don't wash my hands enough.
I don't
carry around like wet naps constantly like I should.
Do you really seriously think that you're sick because you shook people's hands on Wednesday night?
I wasn't feeling well Friday morning, and it just escalated. And then on Saturday, all hell broke loose. So.
Well, what did you eat on Thursday night, the night after our appearance?
Mm-hmm.
He said, making it indelibly clear that that was 24 hours away from our appearance.
Yeah, I can't recall.
Exactly.
Can't recall.
Chicken. I hear John Norman.
Yeah, maybe it was chicken.
Undercooked.
It's amazing
chicken.
He can't recall. He saw it as recently as Saturday.
No, I smelled it as recently as Saturday.
So how did you spend your Sunday, Joe? Did you did you recover?
Making it easy, yeah, and hoping, you know.
Ramping up to give us this level of commitment to excellence today.
Weren't you running the spin art stand at the carnival?
Yes.
Joe, what is your percentage?
Hey, you just got it.
Yeah. What is Joe gets diarrhea
jokes.
It would
be brown spin art, by the way.
No
Asherlock. No pun intended.
Right.
Jesus. You idiot. Joe, what do you gauge your percentage of Jonas to be on the Joe-o-meter today?
I'm in good spirits.
But give me a working number.
80%.
He's 80%. Let's give him a round of applause for
that.
That's pretty strong, Joe.
Now,
80%.
I just want to say in this day, Rob, I'm sure it's lower, but in this day of PC cover your ass, imagine that if you could really go into a work setting and your supervisor says, hey, how you feeling today? And you say, I'll give you 80% today.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you and your employer would high five you. Way to go. It's better than normal
good
days.
Job.
No, you would be afraid to do that.
You'd be terrified.
The standard answer is, you know, 100%. I'm 100% today. Joe, congratulations on
that. Don, I don't want to disappoint you.
But congratulations, but Rob's right. Let's be honest. You're highballing it.
60, right?
Actually, I feel great today.
I'd give him a D plus.
I'm happy. I got the devil suit.
I would grade him out of the 68. Based just on seeing him and the tasks that he's had to do before the show. Like, for instance, that one switch wasn't flipped over the right way.
And the tape was threaded wrong.
Okay, but I'm 100% of that 68.
100% of that 68%.
Okay.
Welcome to Booger Carnival. Would you like to make some spin art?
Okay, bye, Joe.
Good day.
Bye-bye. You know, note, just real quick. Note
he'll be fine by Wednesday.
Note to self. Never ask Joe about weekend. Never ask Joe.
Kind of a dangerous, slippery slope we were on.
How was his weekend?
Yeah.
Well, not good.
Not good.
It kind of came out of nowhere that, you know, all of a sudden, well, you know, I was running back and forth to the bathroom.
We didn't really care. Didn't really care about that too much, Joe.
No, we did not. Now, let's see. Let me just check this to see. Okay. There we go.
Now we're up and operating, but hold on a second.
What?
Rob, what have I done here?
Oh, you brought up Keith Richards.
Who the hell is that?
That's Keith.
A Keith Richards screensaver? Okay, can you go back to that? Okay, and...
Who would have installed that?
Beautiful.
I have no idea.
probably the guy that's 80% or 67% or 100% today.
100% Lockett's the guy we were just talking to.
Okay, there you go. That's another thing that wasn't done, but who's counting?
Doesn't matter.
The phones were locked, but now they're unlocked.
We're getting some wonderful information about our new location. Things seem to be going full speed ahead on that.
No. Oh, right? With our new joint?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, what wonderful...
All good news.
What wonderful information are you talking about?
Just how every time I hear about it, it's going to happen, and Rob told me today. How many days, Rob, is it going to be before we're going to be...
15 more shows.
15 more shows before we're there.
There you go, baby.
It's a very, very good thing. You know, I've been conditioned... to be disappointed. And every time I hear these updates, and they seem to be progressing in a very rapid rate. The numbers are actually getting smaller every day.
New studios look like all systems G.O., baby.
That's right.
G.O.
I haven't even done my practice drive yet.
Nope, me neither.
You haven't done that either?
No.
No, I mean, we'll have to do it.
Well, you should commit to making the practice drive to the new digs.
Yes. Yeah, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to map it out. I'm going to actually get the mileage, and then I will be trying to set the land speed record to see just how fast I can make it. Because really, even though it's further from my house, the new location, I plan to make the commute shorter.
Good for you.
Really?
Yep.
Will you carpool?
Good luck.
No, I'm going to do it whatever way necessary.
Public transportation, Rob.
I forgot.
You're going to metro bus it.
No, it's a little thing we call a smaller vehicle and sidewalks. There you go.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. It's what we're going to try to do. Pedestrians, beware.
Uh-huh.
It's work time.
You know, you can't really, you got to take the highway to get there.
Yeah, you're right.
Gotta
it's probably all
the,
highway.
You got to take the highway. You got to take the beltway to the spur off the beltway. To
okay.
The
all right.
Big six
then we don't need the motorcycle.
No sidewalks.
I got a big tank of a vehicle. I'm going to use the emergency lane.
There you go.
You know, it's usually underutilized. In some places, they actually use it for extra lane, don't they?
How many times have you been caught in some gigantic-ass backup, and you see some guy, and it's always the first guy that goes over to use the far, most cases, right-hand lane.
Right.
And you think, pretty cool, because you watch him speed by everybody, and then you wait, and there's two or three more cars, and then... you jump out there, and then the moment you jump out and you're breezing by all those other people. And
the mom in the minivan that decides to pull out just to stop you?
No. I was thinking about this specifically on 66.
Okay.
If you happen to be coming inbound, right by Notley Street, right
Notley,
by where the subway is, right by where the metro station is, you could be cruising along in that extra lane, like looking at the people going, hey, suckers, you suckers going 35, and all of a sudden... Jack, there's a wall in front of you.
Yeah.
That lane is not made for people to drive in.
Right.
I saw a clever trick yesterday. There was a backup at the bridge on the Beltway.
Yeah.
And we all had to part ways because an ambulance was coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about eight people behind the ambulance keeping pace with the ambulance cutting through traffic. It was very nice.
And we've gotten some real pros in our area.
Yeah.
I mean, that know how to deal with this
really.
Very nice.
Guilty.
You've done that?
Not right on the ambulance's tail.
Oh, I said words like
that. Oh, that's
rat.
Horrible.
I said shucks.
Never do that.
Guilty. Come on, you're guilty too.
You bet your ass I am.
Of course.
I mean, I don't consider that like doing anything bad.
You'll end up in an ambulance.
No, I mean, what you're doing is you're just keeping up with the pace of the emergency.
Just happened to have cleared the way for
you. I forgot what it was like.
Riding the wave.
Driving with Miss Daisy Spiewak.
Hey, I just
driving Miss Daisy. Hold on.
John.
Hi, John, it's Don. How are you?
Hi.
Would you please repeat what you said to me when we were going to Mike's restaurant last Wednesday night to meet our listeners where Joe allegedly got sick, when we pulled up to a light together to make a left-hand turn, and you rolled your window down. I said, hey, John, and you said what?
It's like having your grandmother follow you or dragging a lead weight behind your car.
Wow.
John, look at that.
He surprised him.
John was having to go so slow because Rob was following him, and Rob refused to.
Rob, you've had that rap as a slow driver your whole life.
How can you possibly be faulted for following too slow?
No.
Wait a minute.
It couldn't have been too bad because we caught everybody else.
No, but you see, it's not my fault if you're the guy in
front. Well, no, you can follow too slow. It's that John.
How many yellow lights did I drag you through, Rob?
I don't keep count. I just keep
it. At least three.
So what is that? So I went through them.
I can tell you what it is. I can explain because it's happened to me before.
What
John is saying is that he was having to keep a much slower pace just to make sure you were close to him.
So he didn't lose you.
Oh, my God. So he was courteous?
No, it's not courteous.
No, you know what?
It's you being... No,
you know
no, no.
No, no, no. No, he's right. It's just like when you have an old lady. And I know when I've had an old lady I love, Big Frida, had her follow me to the beach.
And you have to really be conscious of the person in back of you.
You do that thing where you almost think like you're a NASCAR driver, because not because you're going so fast, certainly, because you're, in most cases, going 60, maybe 61. But you can't concentrate on the cars in front of you and make your cat-like moves to pass people because you've got someone behind you who you think might not be fast enough to keep up with your lightning
moves. I thought the three of us did a pretty decent job.
Absolutely.
Heading out there, three people in tandem. We were kind of zipping out there. And
yet stupid slow Rob caught up with you. How did this happen?
It's not stupid slow Rob.
Don't shoot the messenger.
There was no stupid or slow.
We didn't say it. John said it.
You know, I want to win.
When did you caught up with us?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, at 28, right?
Yeah.
I want to withdraw what I said, John, and I want to thank you for dumbing it down for me. Thanks, so I didn't get lost. God knows I'd still be out there driving.
You have always refused to accept your slow driving. I mean, and I haven't driven enough with you to really formulate my own opinion on it.
Let's correct that.
Let's drive around. It may not have been as bad as I represented. Had it been myself, I would have driven a little faster.
Well, John, don't back off.
Don't pussy out. Come on.
I'm not pussying out.
Well, then what were you showing off when you rolled down the window and said that to me? I had no knowledge.
How many years have we been talking about your driving? Seriously, you're slow driving.
Like 13 years. 13
years.
I had zero knowledge of Rob following John. I pull up to the light. The windows go down. Hey, John, right away. He says, about the old lady behind me.
This is a story full of holes because you guys left way ahead of us. And yet we all got to Route 28 at the same
time. Hold on. Now, I take that commute, and I know the commute we're talking about, and I will say that the reason for that, your only reason for that, long traffic lights. Long traffic lights, the only reason
right.
you got.
No, John, don't pussy out. Well, what were you doing? Were you being a big man with me, making fun of Rob?
I felt like I was having to drive slower than I normally do.
I'm a magnificent driver. And
yes, you are. I didn't see you hit anybody.
And I am fleet.
Do you still have the old car, or do you have the family truck?
I was in the Tahoe that night.
You still drive around in the old lady
Caprice.
Car, right?
Yes, the Caprice. The 1995
Chevy
Caprice.
And that is a perfect car for you because you drive slowly.
It's a perfect car for me because it's Corvette speed and Cadillac comfort.
Like it ever goes above 30.
That's why he'll have it till he's 70.
The digital speedometer has but one number. Only 9.
All right, well, you boys should straighten this out among yourselves.
Yeah, let's have a fight.
Yeah, 7 o'clock down in the garage.
That'll be good.
All right.
Stand by your convictions, John.
All right.
We'll be there.
All right.
You've driven with Rob more than anybody else, probably, right?
Absolutely.
And you were the first one to talk about it. You were the first one to talk about the speed factor, the Speedwack speed factor.
Oh.
I really don't think it's necessary to get in the left lane due to the fact that that would be dangerous.
I love Don and Mike show.
Oh, is this WJFK?
Yeah, this is the Don and Mike show. Who is this? Pray tell.
My name is Stacey Crowe, and I have a quick question for you.
Yeah. All right. Stacey Crowe.
I was told.
Boy, I hope I don't have to eat crow during this call.
Bada bing.
Well, you're pretty funny.
Thank you.
Let's see. I was told to call Steve.
Hold on just a second.
I'm a radio guy.
I am so sorry. So what do you say? I know your last name's Crowe. What's your first name?
Stacey.
Stacey, I think we're going to just have to need to get our translator in for you. Okay?
Okay.
All right, Stacey.
I'll tell you this about Stacey Crowe.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom's got it going on. All right, go ahead, Robbie. Stacey, what can we do for you?
Okay, I was told to call you guys. I'm having a terrible problem with the vehicle I purchased from Chevy.
From Chevy?
It's been in the shop 6 times, and they're giving me a hard time. I was told to call Steve Slater for some help.
Yes, well, unfortunately, I think you, darling, have called the wrong show.
Okay. Yeah, you're calling during the week, and the Pat Goss program would be on the weekend.
I'm sorry.
But what's the problem with your car? Just for snicks, maybe we can help you. We're guys, we know about cars.
It's a Suburban, and
hold on just a second, Stacey. Our translator is translating a little too much more. Maybe he's stressed out because someone said he drove slow. So he's translating a little more than he normally does.
Repeat that for us one more time, please. We're having problems hearing you.
Okay, I have a Suburban. A Chevy Suburban. I purchased it, and it's acting crazy. And it's been shot 5 times, and they keep telling me it's perfectly normal. And I was told to call these guys for advice.
Right.
And my problem is I'm trying to keep my rights for as a car owner. And, you know how it is.
We do.
That translation was much better than the first one.
Just yeah.
She was speaking clearer.
Yes.
I think, let me see, I'm no auto expert, but the problem, I think I speak for everybody here, is that you're a woman.
Now, you have, my dear, you have what I would...
Hello?
Oh, dear.
I think she took offense.
Oh, dear.
She doesn't get jokes.
And we didn't even get to tell her the bad news is that Pat Goss passed away. So she can't get
Oh, that was not helpful. He did not. Now people are going to believe you.
Why do you say things like that?
Because
you
he's
ask.
Under stress. He's under stress after the Norman attack.
Mr. Goss is fine.
Really?
So why would you joke?
Why would you say that?
Funny.
Because funny.
Pat Goss is alive and well, and he's still doing his show
of
on
course,
the
yeah.
station.
Pat and Bonnie, good friends of mine.
Oh, yeah, right. Making me throw stuff at you.
I think she's got a lemon.
A lemon. Oh, I think she's got an onion.
Oh, I bet she does. I bet she's got a lemony onion.
What the hell? That poor lady. Yeah. See, when they call, they can't hear Rob doing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
She just, that's you good. Know, assumes that she's just talking to us.
Yes, and then, of course, the woman comment, I guess she didn't care for. I don't understand why.
That is the problem.
Just try to have a little fun, folks.
That's right. Hold on, what's the problem there? Hello, operator?
Yep. We're having a little trouble with the phone line.
I got to reset everything. Before we go to break, I'll just tell you one fast thing about driving around over the weekend. I did see the greatest thing. There was this poor schmuck who was wearing a Scooby-Doo costume, a rental Scooby-Doo costume, and he was having to hold up a sign for a yard sale. Uh-huh. And he was out on a relatively major road,
mm-hmm.
and I guess it was for a housing development that was right off this big four-lane highway.
Right.
Speed limit, incidentally, 55.
Yeah.
So he's standing right by the Exxon or Mobil, whatever the hell it is.
This
now.
Is for a regular retail store or for a private yard sale?
For a private yard sale.
Wow, it's going the distance for a yard sale.
So the guy's out there in the Scooby-Doo suit,
right.
and I'm running some errands on Saturday, and I go past one, and I see him, and you know, then I go past the other way, and I see him again, and... People are not honking at him. People are giving him a hard time. And for whatever reason, because he's not acting like your typical mascot. No. I mean,
he's not waving to the kids?
No, I can't imagine. He's just holding a sign up.
Uh-huh.
He's just holding a sign up. And the fourth time that I passed him, because the errands were like crisscross, go to this place, hold on, I forgot to go to this place.
Right.
I can take a shortcut, go this way. So I'm four times.
Tell the truth, you actually passed him because you wanted to.
No, on the way back home, final time, great moment. I saw him flipping off people.
There you go.
Now, here's how I know.
Right,
now,
Scoop.
He has the Scooby-Doo. He has the Scooby-Doo hand on.
Right.
So what is funny to see is, by this point, the sign now, because he's getting into it with somebody.
Right.
Because he's by a stoplight, and it's raining. And
right.
it's been not pouring rain, but it's been sprinkling on and off. And,
imagine the smell of that.
You know, this loser in this yard sale suit. Oh, my God. And if by chance he's listening, he's got to be the only guy in the world in Northern Virginia on Saturday that was outside in the rain.
Did he look to be an adult?
Yes.
Okay.
In a Scooby-Doo suit. Call, because I got to see the guy have what I think was the beginning of the breakdown.
Right.
When the sign went down and the hand goes up.
Now did he have to do the deal where he folded the other fingers down?
No, this is what's great.
Artificial hand.
This is what's great. The hand goes up.
Yeah.
And when the hand goes up, he starts getting some of this. He starts getting... Because all of the kids think, the people that are there with the kids,
right.
think that the guy on the side of the road is waving at him.
No.
The guy, you got to look at his face to read his lips, to hear him saying, mother effer.
How can you see his lips through his head?
Because he had the face cut out in the middle. It wasn't a Scooby. I'm sorry if I misrepresented.
Yeah, when you said Scooby-Doo, I thought he had the whole big dog head, right?
No, it was the dog body.
Oh, but you could actually see his face.
It was the dog body, and I think kind of like what you want with Tom with
right.
the devil suit, where he did have...
The dog head on on the top of his head.
Yes, and then his entire face was cut out, so you could see the guy's face.
Was the altercation like with one particular individual that got him going?
Yes, it was.
I love that.
Yes, it was.
Almost like when we got chased down the street on M Street in Georgetown by the McDonald's French fry.
And what was great was that...
F you!
I'm sitting there watching this, thinking, oh, this is really great. Because he's mad. But nobody knows he's mad. And he's trying so hard to give the finger. and it's just that big, dumb Scooby-Doo hand.
Right.
So I just wanted to put out a search for this guy. I've not given the location.
Well, I'm sure people would know the Scooby-Doo yard sale. I mean, how many people have a yard sale where they have that costume?
Right. Only he would know the location where I saw him lose it and drop his sign and flip this guy off.
But did he appear to be directing people towards like a yard sale somewhere in another neighborhood? Or,
yeah.
So he
yeah.
was like at a main drag.
Yeah, on a right by the intersection of two very major roads.
That's right, Scoob.
Speed limit day.
Flip off the cars with kids in them, Scoob.
45 mile an hour speed limit. And he was just standing out there. And I just want to say, if you're out there, call in.
Please.
Got a prize for you, because I'd like to know what it takes, what level of man it is that stands outside on Saturday morning in the rain in a Scooby-Doo suit for a yard sale, and what is it that pushed you to the point where you had to lay down the sign and start to verbally take on some thugs. I mean, really, I'm serious as a heart attack.
Because really,
this.
Your credibility of a tough guy is just destroyed as soon as you're wearing the suit. I mean,
right.
how can you mount a proper, a-hole guy defense if you're wearing the silly cartoon outfit? It's not going to...
Boom! And I saw him early, Jack, because, I mean, I got up on Saturday morning early, went to the grocery store, so this was like 7 a.m. when I first saw him. Then I came back home, saw him again on the way back home, waited a couple of hours, took the car to be inspected, saw him on the way to do that. Then on my way back from the gas station,
right.
That's when I saw him lose it for the fourth time.
Makes me think of all those Disney stories, you know, where the characters would have the big debauchery parties,
yes.
You know, in the motel rooms after that. And they'd, some of them still be wearing their uniforms. You know, you'd have Goofy and Pluto, just doing drugs and things like that. Just amazing.
Phone is not ringing, so hold on. Let me just check this out. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's somebody who saw him. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, hey, this is the janitor in that Scooby-Doo, and I would have got away with it if it hadn't been for those kids.
Is that like a reference to the cartoon show?
Yeah. Was it, Rob?
Yeah.
Typical plot.
Was it a funny reference to the cartoon show?
It was funny about 10 years ago.
10 years ago?
Yeah, he hasn't called yet. Hard to dial with those big paws.
Hello.
That's right, Scoob.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I sure am hungry.
Hello.
here he is. Here he is. How you doing, Scooby-Doo?
That's a good Scooby-Doo.
How are you, Scoob?
And remember,
can we hear your laugh again, Scooby-Doo? Good. We found him.
It's ponderous. Effing ponderous. Casey Kasem.
I'm not going to that yard sale, Scoob.
Okay, we'll try one more, and then we got to hit a break here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Doc, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Hey, I once got flipped off by a giant mattress.
I feel for those people.
Yeah.
And that's why when you mention the yard sale, you see them normally in retail.
Yeah.
And I feel so bad because to me, it is like the employee of the company that drew the short straw.
And that's why I want to try to find this guy because, like you said, he's not standing on the highway in front of like a beach supply store wearing like a, I don't know, a bear suit
exactly.
In the middle of summer.
Or you see Uncle Sam, you know, with 4th of July. You got the big Uncle Sam that's out there in the heat.
He was just a guy in front of some house, in front of some housing development. Why did you get flipped off by the mattress?
I was visiting my parents in New Hampshire, and I saw a big mattress outside of a mattress discounter, and I figured just for the hell of it, I'd slow the car down and start beeping at him.
And he got mad?
It was about 90 degrees out. The guy's out there sweating his ass off, and here comes this little escort beeping his ass off. So, no, he got pissed.
And it's always, you know, the heavy suit in the middle of the summer. It's this huge, hot, heavy suit.
Who can blame him? Recipe for disaster. Mm.
Well, he had to be, I would assume, a relative or a family member. You know, I don't think they hired some guy to wear a Scooby-Doo suit to go out for a yard sale. It had to be somebody in the family. That's why, could you get a decent enough look? Did it appear to be like maybe an older sibling?
No, I would
18,
say...
18, 19, something like that?
Approaching 30. I'm not kidding.
Adult
so
male.
It was dad.
Approaching 30 with... live with some type of facial hair. I mean, that's how close I was to seeing the guy when I drove by him.
You know, I mean, I'm concocting all these stories that the night before they had the neighborhood party on their deck, and it, you know, and the big competition as to who was going to be Scooby-Doo the following day.
Poor
who knows,
ass.
Who knows why the ass was out there?
That poor ass. Anyway, saw him Saturday morning. I'm not giving the location, but we'll have a prize if he calls. Cool. If we do this now, everybody will be happy later.
Good.
So we'll be right back.
All right.
There you go.
Perfect.
That's good.
Don and Mike to break.
Everybody's going to be happy later.
That's really good.
You want a different one?
No.
Ow!
That's
ow.
Right, Scoob.
Oh, careful.
We're dealing ow. With 1960s equipment.
Careful,
my delicate finger.
Oh.
Here we go. Okay, try it again.
Number 15 Arbitron rated.
Sounds strong.
The Don and Mike Show. Mike Show.
I'm not discouraging egos, because you need that to win your individual battles. But at the end, it's still a team competition. And what you do as an individual, it may contribute or it may be a deterrent to your team winning.
The Don and Mike Show.
Coach Parcells.
Thanks, Coach.
The Big and the Pretty. The Don and Mike Show.
Hold on, let's say call, and then I definitely got some weekend stuff to tell you about. Some awkward moments I had this weekend, Jack. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
I was wondering if you guys would like to weigh in on a family graduation dispute.
Weigh in. Well, we've got our scales right here. Go ahead.
Go.
Ready? All right. My ex just married the home wrecking bitch. And I asked that she not attend the graduation.
How much time? I think that,
Mike, you should maybe disqualify yourself in this.
Well, but there was no home wrecking in my
situation. I understand, but still, the wound
yeah.
is still fresh.
But yeah. I can answer the question, because I have strong feelings on this, and I speak good. With authority on it. And I think that I can... How many years have passed since this all went down?
The divorce was final in August of 2003.
Three years?
Has he been with the same pump all this time?
I was with him for 16 years.
Do your kids get along with her?
No, we were supposed to be friends, and she
That was not the question I asked. The question I asked was, do your kids get along with the woman that your ex-husband is with?
Yes.
Hmm. And would your kids be upset,
darling,
if she didn't come to the graduation? Tell the truth.
No.
Baby.
Wouldn't bother him if she didn't come.
Talk to me. Tell me what happened, baby. What happened?
She was...
What did he do? No, I'm talking back in 03. What did he do to you, baby?
I didn't do anything.
What did he do to you, baby?
He slept with her and...
He cheated on you, and that's why the marriage broke up.
Yeah.
She younger?
Yeah.
She prettier?
I don't think so.
And did you ever get along with her? Was she a friend of yours before this happened?
She was. She was telling me how lucky I was to have him.
Oh, now hold on. How close friends were you?
We went on vacations together.
Ooh, wow. Well, honey, no. Wow. See, now hold on a second. See, I was gonna go down
that's
the entirely different road with you. No, I mean, cut that bitch out.
Thank you.
Ouch! Ouch!
You hear that, Billy?
Are they married?
I said, cut that bitch out. They just got married last weekend.
He can take his wife to the graduation if he wants to.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
He can take his wife to the... If he takes her...
Doesn't mean you can't key her car.
There you go.
I just think, you know, she should be one of us. If I ask her not to go, she shouldn't come.
Well, how long is she... I mean, if it's only been 3 years that she's been in your kids' lives, then you raised the kids. We're talking about... Are we talking about a high school graduation here?
Yes.
Well, you raised the kids. And she, I think Absolutely. She should probably go along with your wishes.
How old is she?
She is... Maybe 41, something like that.
Hi.
42.
And she is your ex-husband's wife now.
Yeah.
And how old are you?
46.
Mm-hmm. 46. Oh, well, come on. See, it's not like he traded you in on, like, some Paris Hilton, right?
Well, she was sleeping with three guys when...
Well, you just... You
she was sleeping with
you
him.
You keep painting a great picture of her.
Have you moved on?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure she has.
Can you tell?
Sure she
has. Because of the graduation.
No, I mean, do you have, when I said that, I meant actually specifically, do you have somebody in your life now that you're seeing?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
It doesn't sound like you've moved on, though.
I don't think there is. I know.
I've moved on, but it's still painful.
The new man.
Of course it is.
Is the new man's name either Ben or Jerry?
No.
Do you know what I tell people seriously? And I think it, my friends will back me up on this. You have to do what's right for your children, and
yeah.
You don't want to upset them on their day.
Either way. No.
And if she's showing up, you unfortunately have to be the stand-up person and don't pull a scene.
I
make a big
deal. And I will.
I must disagree.
No, I'm not.
He doesn't
right,
really
I'm
care.
I urge you.
He doesn't care about you. He would be doling out the same advice.
I urge you to find a copy of the TV
show. I may be giving out advice that was given to me by someone in this room.
The TV show Dynasty. The way that Joan Collins and Linda Evans went.
You
at
want
it.
That at the so if there's a fountain.
No,
or
I'm
a
not.
Pool,
I'm not going to snatch your bald in the middle of Constitution Hall. Okay. I'll take Xanax if I have to.
Just let me ask you a question.
I carry it in my pocket.
If you,
I do.
If you balled up your fist and you put that nice engagement ring on that he gave you all those years ago.
I sold it already.
Could you?
Well, okay. Heavy ring.
We'll just say you go with your regular meaty, although delicate hand. Could you take her out with one punch?
Absolutely.
Is this one child that's graduating?
This is our middle child.
Middle child is graduating. Oh, man. That's tough.
Ah, come on, suck it up.
Yeah,
you
got to
suck it up.
You probably
should have done that in 2003. Maybe it wouldn't have worked out the way it did.
You got to give her the advice you give
everybody. I have to. Yeah. I'm just saying, if I ask her not to go.
No, the fact that you're calling us about it, the fact you're talking, you got to just say, F it for now. And deal with it later.
Be the bigger person.
And deal with it like when your kids are away. Don't deal with them around.
Seriously. You got to learn to not call stupid disc jockeys.
Yeah. But I love talking about it.
For real life advice.
The reason
advice.
I called you guys is because my sweetheart said I was being childish.
You know, you're not being childish, but you know
yes,
what to
you
do.
You are.
You know what to do.
Childish. You are.
You know what? You're driving me nuts right now. Now you're
very childish.
Somehow I think you're...
You should start calling her slut.
Now, wait a minute. You're sending completely confusing and mixed signals to this poor woman.
You're right.
You're calling her childish, and
that's
then you're
right.
Telling her to act childish. Now, what are you doing to her?
I'm saying act distinguished childish.
Yes. Distinguished childish? So,
yes.
So, in other words, harlot would be the word
slut.
You would choose to use. Call her a harlot, not a slut.
There she is. That sea-sucking slut. You know, I mean, you say it in a delicate way. And how old is your daughter that's graduating?
No, it's my son.
Oh,
your son.
And graduation is a ceremony. It's like a wedding or anything else. You don't have to have any contact at all. You don't have to have any contact at all.
Right.
If she's in a photo,
I understand
you, you're walking away. Haven't we all been to weddings where you've gotten, you know, I've been to certainly a lot of weddings where you've had parents that
Absolutely.
Were divorced.
And exes,
you know.
Yeah, right. Hey, it's been 3 years.
Listen,
we
got to move on, honey. At the ceremony, what you do is get the microphone away from the principal, call her a tramp and a whore, a trollop, and then poison her.
Poison her like right on the spot with a quick acting poison that'll take effect before the commencement is over.
Like a Mission Impossible type thing, where she just thinks you're brushing against her, and the next second, like her arms start going.
And then she's down.
Like acid.
Hey, I got better advice. You say they gave you a prescription for Xanax?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll take one or two before you go to the ceremony.
I will.
Just be like, what a beautiful day this is. Everything is sweetness and light and everything
sweat.
Is wonderful.
Don't sweat.
There's
the
advice.
Don't rely on DJs like us to help you through real life situations.
No, I'm asking you guys because...
What brand do you smoke?
Sweetheart listens to you every day.
Thank you. What brand do you smoke, m'lady?
Misty Light 120.
Misty Light 120.
Extra. Way to go! You stole my thunder there. You identified a smoker.
120.
Oh, Mike. Hello.
I didn't pick up on it.
Oh, you.
Long and strong.
Now I guess.
Long.
Now that I think about it.
Right.
Yeah. And now the laugh actually is coming through. Where are you having the post graduation party? Are you gonna have one at your house?
We're having one here. Yeah. Saturday.
Okay.
You guys
all right.
Come?
Can
Open
I leave
house.
You? Can I leave with you with something wonderful? And I really urge you to do this, okay?
Okay.
Go to the ceremony. Be sweetness and light. Now hear me out on this.
Be very nice. Be very kind. Mm-hmm. Then tell your ex-husband and his new bride that the graduation party is at some major hotel.
Tell them it's at Black Eyed Pea.
Tell them it's at...
Well, they're not invited. They're having their own.
Well, no, you don't get it. Invite them, but invite them to a fictitious location.
you know what? Bless your heart, Mike. Mm-hmm. You're too attached because...
You weren't even listening to what I was saying. I was giving her a nice piece of joke advice here.
Oh, I
appreciate
you didn't hear that, did you?
No.
You were so ready to judge...
Yes, I was.
...that you did not listen to what I was saying,
judge.
Which was a wonderful, lighthearted joke.
Oh, well, then, apology.
That's right. Listen. And he was sitting there with his hand over his mouth just waiting to say something, and you didn't know... that I was adhering to your policy of keeping this light.
Thank you.
When it would be very easy for me to say, you know, go in there and pull a carry. You know, sit there and look at the ex-wife and the ex-husband and go, vroom, and all the windows close in the school, and then the pig's blood falls down.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
Good luck.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Seriously,
bye-bye.
If you wanted to be... Now, you'd be called on it.
Oh, sure.
And you'd have to be... you'd have to answer to the ex-husband. But all you do is say, oh, you know what? Let's let bygones be bygones. We're having a lovely little get-together down at the Hyatt. It should be wonderful. And he goes, you know, thank you. That's really nice. And they arrive at 6 or 7 o'clock at the Hyatt, and no one's there.
No one's there.
Okay.
Am I the only one that's thinking this?
What's that?
I know why he left. Am I the only one that got that vibe?
It crossed our minds.
Yeah. Maybe for a second.
Yeah, maybe just to...
I mean, to take his side for
3 years.
For a brief moment.
Yeah. The whole idea of... You
and
know
God
why?
Knows
the
how
whole
long,
idea of her calling
God knows
the radio.
How long he had to hear that voice in real life every day.
Well, also the idea of her calling the radio show. That's what's done me in on her. I mean, really. Calling us immediately to say the home-wrecking bitch.
Exactly.
But you know, she's not holding on to it, Mike.
No.
There's a kid graduating here.
She's over it now.
Focus on that.
Oh, come on. The kid doesn't care. I mean, the kid doesn't really care. I mean, the kid will be up there with thousands of other kids.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, the kid doesn't care if the kid's, you know, if the kid doesn't have to care.
It's one evidence.
If the kid's, like, sitting up there, you know, in the front, in the first eight rows, and all of a sudden there's a scuffle in the back, you know, kid will care then.
And right now she's calling some poor, sad 17-year-old on his cell phone and saying, guess what the disc jockey said about your father's jar?
Screw her.
Screw her. Good luck. See ya. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Good luck to the
mom. She reminds me of Marge Simpson's sisters.
Patty and Selma.
Patty and Selma.
Yeah. Hello there.
Yes.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, I guarantee you that chick is in a lives in a trailer, man. Up in 120s. Come on. Misty 120s. That's a value cigarette.
That's all a right. Misty 120s.
That's a value cigarette.
Am I the only one here also thinking there's going to be a scuffle at that graduation?
Maybe.
Unless she takes the Xanax.
Don and Mike show. Hello. Cello.
Don.
And Mike. Hello.
That lunatic bitch. Her husband left her because she doesn't listen. Did you notice every question you asked her, she'd give you an answer about something that had nothing to do
yes,
with
she was
question?
Not directly answering the questions. You're absolutely right.
Right. Oh, I'm sure Rob noticed
hold
that.
Hold on.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Bye, guys.
Rob, thank you. Rob wrote this. Rob was very frustrated during the call.
Of course.
Oh, really? He wanted to join in?
Yeah, at one point, I swear to God, look what he wrote down on the newspaper.
What?
Did he ever accuse her of not listening?
There you go.
It
it's right there.
Great minds think alike.
She wouldn't listen.
See you at the World Cup, Rob.
Oh, God. Soccer fan, Rob's to you.
Love
right.
it.
I watched this. God. How do I tell you about this? I watched this thing on SportsCenter today that blew my friggin' mind. I mean, I know there's racism in sports and soccer and in over in Britain and in all of Europe. They had, in the German stadium, they got the fans given the Sieg Heil, and they've got the swastika.
Wow. Mind-blowing.
And with the brothers that are over there playing, they're making monkey sounds, they're throwing bananas on the field.
Oh, my God.
And they're throwing...
And it happens all over Europe, right? It's not just confined to Germany.
Everywhere. And they're very concerned now that the rest of the world is looking on them now.
Well, sure.
And I think it was a German guy, it's always a German guy, isn't it?
Of course.
Who's the head of FIFA. FIFA, hi. I'm the head of FIFA.
Well, that is your problem. Is FIFA like some giant soccer organization?
I think so.
Well, there you go. No wonder things have gone out of control.
So in Athens, they're trying to bully him into a position on this, and he says if anything happens with the crowd at any of these games, the team will be penalized. They'll take away like 3 points, which means they can't win the World Cup, I guess.
That's a lot.
but God, they had a lot of stock footage. Like the coach of whoever, the Spanish national team, I guess on the French team, one of the guys is a brother,
right?
One of the good players.
Mm-hmm.
So they've mic'd up the Spanish coach during that team's practice.
Right.
And he says, he's yelling at whoever the guy is going to be guarding me. He says, come here. Now, he's speaking in Spanish, so you're hearing, but it's translated for you.
They're doing subtitles?
Yeah, right. And he says, get your ass after that black piece of S.
Wow.
Don't let that blackie beat you.
So, I mean, right there.
They fined him $5,000.
What they're doing is they're reacting like slap on the wrist.
They find him $5,000, and then they show the tape of the coach of the Spanish team, of the Spain team.
That's what you were talking about,
yeah, right.
The Spanish team, right?
So they're talking to him later. He's at a press conference, and, of course, it's being translated since he doesn't speak English, but it says, I have many friends, yellow friends, brown friends.
So he's trying to cover his ass.
I was motivating a player.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
So there's not only the fine.
But
now, is that $5,000 fine the equivalent of what it would be to fine like a baseball player, $5,000 in this country?
I don't know how much they make over there.
I think they make a lot of money.
All I know is that the biggest part of this piece, though, was with Rob's buddies.
The Germans?
I mean, the Germans, and they've got a guy on who is trying to explain this.
Right.
Who says, well, part of the... No, I should say, I don't know that he had a German accent.
Oh, let's say he did.
But the guy who...
let's say he did.
The guy who,
if they're stereotyping, we can stereotype.
The guy who's speaking about why it is that this is going on over there says, well, you must understand that we don't have civil rights like in the United States, and frankly, a lot of these young people, they don't really know what it's all about, and they're just trying to do something to get noticed. And to them, it's a prank. It's a lark.
Mm-hmm.
It's a prank. And basically what they're saying now is...
I think like years ago they might have said that about something else that happened. Kind of weird.
Anyway, there you go. Germany in the news.
Wow, again, still.
Try to give that to you whenever I can.
60 years ago?
It's a lock, it's a prank.
nothing
to worry about here, everything's fine.
So let's see what happens. I mean, if anything, it'll make me at least read maybe in the newspaper. Oh, I forgot, I can't read. Someone will read to me about the World Cup when people act crazy. Acting crazy now, ain't that?
That's odd. And I wish I understood more about the point system in the World Cup and how significant a penalty that really is.
Now, hold on a second. Yes, Yanni.
I saw that, too. Didn't they threaten to kick all the spectators out of the stadium if they went nuts and started doing stuff like that?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
100,000 drunk krauts. Good luck. All of them doing Sig Heils. Good luck getting them out of the stadium.
Yeah. Wow. That's, boy, what a horrible problem. That's amazing.
Crazy.
That is truly amazing that's going on right now.
How you German listeners doing?
Yeah, all our big fan base.
Love the strudel.
Listening over in Germany right now.
Right.
Well, that's why they call it the World Wide Web.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the weekend.
Yeah.
I had a couple of awkward moments this weekend. Many things were happening. My son was in town. He's on his way out of town now. I think you maybe heard him on the show Friday. It was great having him around. He's 21 now, which means things are slightly different.
Well, he's a legal grown-up right now.
Yeah. Tell me about it, Jack and Coke.
Oh, really? Was that his drink of choice?
Well, he was having some friends over on Friday night, and he pulled in right about as I pulled in, coming home from work on Friday night, and came bounding out of the car with, you know, his Jack and Coke, and like real, just all proud of himself, like he's been out hunting or something, bringing home the, hey, Dad! What's happening? I'm carrying these bottles on top of his head. Like, look at me. Bought it legally. Got friends coming over. We're all 21. Nobody's driving. And right away, I knew that was the beginning of the weekend that was going to be just all of these big clods hanging around my house. Because they're all old enough to drink.
All of his college buddies coming back.
They weren't getting crazy, and there wasn't large numbers of them. It's just every once in a while, it would seem that they would... They're almost like... what were those things on Star Trek that...
The tribbles.
Yeah, they would just... You'd look up, there was one, and all of a sudden there's four guys.
They multiply.
Yeah, they go downstairs 2 seconds later, and the four guys are gone. They're replaced by one girl.
Did you find it difficult not to... Obviously, you stayed to yourself and didn't keep checking on him.
Tried to.
You tried to stay to yourself, but you visited occasionally to see what was going on?
Well, you know, it's the... It's the dad in me.
Your house.
Right. It's my house, right? I want to go downstairs and just sometimes I open the door and just like, hey, how are we? What's happening, young people? So that's Friday night. Saturday. This is where, you know, I like to say I'm a progressive parent, especially since I lost Frida, that I'm doing the best I can, you know, as a single dad. And I think Bart and I have a wonderful relationship. However, I thought he was goofing me. It turns out this is true. Saturday afternoon, he and his friend, who was a girl, they went to Ocean City.
Uh-huh.
They're going to go crash at our beach house.
Right.
And they're going to go see Big Frida. And that was great. I understand that they really liked seeing each other. You know, it's been a while since Big Frida had seen Bart.
Right.
And Saturday night, I give him a call. And after like four rings, I hear kind of a muted, hello? I go, hey, hello? I hear, hello? Hey, Pop, what's happening? I said, did you go see Grandma today?
Yeah, we went before we came over here tonight. It was great.
I said, where are you at? What do you weigh? I called the phone number at home, right? Not the cell number. And he said,
yeah, we're in your bathtub, Dad.
Oh. And I said,
wow.
Wait a minute. In the house that we have in Ocean City, there are six bathrooms. There are four bathtubs. I mean, I'm not bragging.
Right.
It's just a fact. The one that's,
wow.
The one that's in the,
is it designed for a lot of people to be there?
Yeah, obviously. Well, Frida got it because it's, you know, Chateau Relaxo.
Well, it should be pointed out those houses are like that, so you have, they're kind of like, so a lot of people can hang out.
Yeah, right. So we can have the whole, you know, we could have, in essence, the whole clan come over,
right,
and everybody's got a place. That's
right.
That's part of the reason we got this place. So you got to go all the way to the top to find really what now is my bathroom, used to be our bathroom, Frida
okay.
and I.
Right.
And, you know, Frida picked out everything in that house, and it's the big, nice bathtub, like the kind you get in a hotel, that's got the hot tub and the jacuzzi. It's not a
right.
real hot tub, but it's got
right.
Gotcha. All
I know
the
what you're
jets.
Talking about, right?
It's got all the jets and
right.
everything, and it's nice, and you know, I never used it, but Frida used it.
Right.
So he says, Andrew, we're taking a bath in your bathtub. And I said, yeah, right. Yeah, come on, stop screwing with me. He said,
oh, come on, really? Listen to the water.
No, I didn't. Of course, I think he's giving me BS.
Right.
Because I hear what I picture is him now standing at the kitchen sink,
splashing.
Where he's got some water and he's splashing some water, and he says,
"Oh, we're in your bathtub. We're listening to your XM 7 on 7."
Now, you know, that's where I have.
So you think he's working you when he calls you like this?
Yes, he's telling me that in essence, what he's saying is that
he's playing in your room.
He's gone up to my bedroom,
uh-huh.
our bedroom, my bedroom now. He's in my cave. He's turned on my satellite radio on the channel that I listen to, and he's in the bathtub with
if
his
he
girlfriend.
Knows that'll drive you insane.
Right. So, finally, I only hold on to it for maybe really 2 minutes,
uh-huh.
right? Very literally only 2 minutes because I've got stuff going on. I mean, I've got other people coming over and, you know. Thank you, Rob. Kind of like that. Kind of like that. So I say to him, okay, whatever, have a good time.
Uh-huh.
Because he says stuff that's like that to me all the time.
So you don't know whether it's legit
yeah.
or not. So,
like, for instance, last night I said to him, what are you going to do? And he said, I don't know, maybe go out and set the house on fire.
He's got the...
Yeah.
It's,
what do you believe? What do you not believe?
His way of just having fun with Dad.
So, let's fast forward now to Sunday morning.
All right. So there's no closure on this sub story?
No, I'm going to give you some closure.
Okay,
here.
Good, good.
Because as far as I was concerned, it was what it was.
Right.
It was a passing moment. Sunday, he calls me to tell me that he's going to be coming back home.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. Great news. I give him the whole lecture about lock the place up, turn the alarm on, blah, blah, blah. And at that point, he says, when he's, you know, totally functional, I mean, he's not had anything to drink, he's not loose as a goose, great, he says, oh, and Dad, I hope you don't mind that we burned that candle that you had that was in the basket by the bathtub. And I said, hold on a second. And I remember, because now I never used this bathtub. Frida
right,
used it.
Right.
But there was this thing like, you know, it's a typical girl thing, like a Bed Bath and Beyond. It had like a,
mm-hmm.
whatever, like a scented candle,
yeah, right.
aroma stress.
Sure.
Anyway, he said, Yeah, we opened that up and we used the powdered whatever salt it was or whatever to make the bath.
Salts for the bath, yeah.
Yes, and
Buzz, you use those.
Said,
sure, every day.
He said, and we put on the CD of relaxing music and we burned the candle. And okay. I said, wait a minute, hold on. You mean you really took a bath?
So they chilled out.
In my bathtub with the jets and everything. He said, yeah, I told you we did. I said, oh, yeah. That's beyond gross. That for me is beyond gross.
You can never use that tub again.
I said, I know it's not your nature. You better scrub the hell out of that tub. If I go up there and I see one hair.
If you see the ring.
I'm going to flip out.
Right.
You know, because God knows, I picture him up there, Mr. Smooth, uh-huh. up there.
You have him.
You know, he's got it going on. Okay. He's got his Jack and Coke in one hand. Uh-huh. She's got a Jack and Coke. He's got the music on.
He's
a Chateau Relaxo. he's in Dad's bathtub. Turn the jets on. Have a good time.
Listen, I got to cut him some slack on this one because, first of all, he's not my son, so I guess I can, as your radio partner, cut him a little bit of slack. Was this the best tub in the house?
Mm.
Did he go? He went for the best tub in the house.
Of course,
right?
Sure.
And he went for the two-person tub, right?
Well, yeah.
Where there was enough room to hang out.
I was young once. You can get two people in a regular tub. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
He's the one downstairs, for God's sake. and God knows what else they did.
All right, if you had, because I don't know the ABCs of you well enough to know, that if you had gone back up to the beach and discovered that maybe the tub had been used, would you have been more pissed or what I'm confused about is if you just discovered it and said, hey, somebody's been sleeping in my tub, would that have upset you more than him telling you kind of details about
it? No, but frankly, because enough members of my family use that place.
Right, you would have thought it was somebody
else. I would have thought it could have been anybody.
Okay.
Maybe, you know,
it's a good lesson.
Wandered upstairs. Anyway, that was not too awkward. And
I guess.
And that followed Saturday night, which was also, and I'll just tell you the truth, not in a ha-ha way, an awkward way. So Bart is out at the, he's at the beach.
Right.
And my girlfriend comes over on Saturday night. So we went out to dinner, and then she said, let's watch a movie at home. I said, good idea. She said, you know, I've been telling her how much I like Albert Brooks. She has no idea who Albert Brooks is.
Oh,
I mean, she
God.
Knows, but she has
yeah.
not seen the movies,
well,
right?
She needs to.
So I'm not even thinking. I pull out, I say, oh, this is a great one, Defending Your Life.
Oh,
that's a good one. Yeah. She said, okay. I said, you're going to like it. It's got Rip Torn in it and everything.
Yeah.
So put it on. And it's not until the movie's on, like, for a minute that I remember, hold on a second, Jesus Christ. Like, Albert Brooks gets killed in a car crash.
Right.
Hello. And then it's, you know, the whole movie is that he's going to heaven, and the whole thing is that
yeah.
he's dead. And
right. And
I'm sitting there with her, and she's watching it like someone would watch an Albert Brooks movie. I mean, it's
right.
It's funny.
Right. It is a funny movie.
And I'm watching it with her, and the whole time I'm thinking is, you know, oh, I should have chose Lost in America or Modern Romance or Broadcast News. But she's cool enough that I was honest with her.
Sure.
I mean, not until the next day I didn't tell her. I just said, you know, I said, I'm sorry that I was a little goofy last night at the end of the night. I said, you know, that whole thing with watching the movie, I said,
yeah,
you,
I
know,
can imagine.
Was, you know, my choice of movie. You know, and I didn't want to ruin the movie like halfway through and say, right. oh, let's...
So you let it roll. You let the movie finish then.
Yeah, and it's not that I was devastated by it, but
right.
like, you know, it was a weird... Well, I know my girlfriend would mind me saying this, because just being honest,
right.
it was a weird feeling sitting there with somebody else watching a movie like I had watched the movie for 25 years with Frida.
Sure.
And the movie was about somebody who died in a car crash and what happens when they go to heaven.
Right.
And I'm so stupid that I picked the movie out.
Well, you know, you
forgot.
Probably you were just caught up in the weekend, and
like,
you know,
it was the funniest. I thought it was the funniest one. I mean, I think.
Yeah. And you think it's funnier than Lost in America?
Well, here's the thing. I think it's funny because of the concept of the movie.
Okay.
Because on some level, what he's tossing out there is maybe what I think to some level is what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, like I told you. Well, let's not get into my weird theory about about heaven.
I like the restaurant scene.
Yo,
I give you 18 pies or whatever. That's my favorite part of the movie, you know. You can eat all you want.
And then,
best part of Defending Your Life.
Yeah. And then just two other just things. So that's Saturday night.
Right.
And again, my girlfriend is awful sweet because she was cool with it. And and so Sunday morning, I get up and, you know, Bart's at the beach. Girlfriend's not there. So I think, yeah, time for me to check out church. Not been to church for a couple of weeks.
Wow. Good.
Well, I go every once in a while.
Nice.
So anyway, I go and I was kneeling, waiting to get my Triscuit, and
you have a very unique denomination, a unique service where Triscuits are served.
Now,
don't they vary it? Sometimes wheat thins, sometimes Triscuits?
Yes, and I love it when we have Bugles.
And how about Cheez-Its? Do they still do Cheez-Its?
Cheez-Its, Mike, yes. Cheez-Its, yes.
Exciting.
But Cheez-Its are not, you got to hold out for the Triscuit.
Yeah, okay, the Triscuit is usually, it's a special
Triscuit
thing.
Or Ritz.
Big, hearty
or
cracker.
Chicken in a, is it chicken? It's
chicken in a basket, isn't it?
Chicken in a basket. In a blue box, right?
That's right.
Oh, excellent cracker. High in calorie.
Those are good. Well, who counts, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, not when you're in church.
So it's the deal where you're waiting in line to go up and get communion.
Mm.
And I'm waiting in line. And the thing snakes around, this altar snakes around about 40 people at a time go up and wait. I'm the very last guy on the left-hand side. And normally they break it up that one guy does, like, the right side, one guy does the left side. Well, they got only one guy doing it, and he's doing it.
You're talking
right
about
to left.
Episcopal priests?
Yeah.
Or the guys that help him,
Or the guys that help him.
Right.
You either have the Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, they have guys.
You either have the Captain Kirk doing it, or you got, your number two, your William Riker.
They're all wearing the suits.
Yeah, but the one guy's got the fancier suit on.
Yeah, right. He's got all the vestments on.
There's the guy who's the main man, then there's like his, if anything happens, like the vice president of the church.
It always seems to me to taste better if you get it from the number one guy.
Oh, yeah. More effective. Really.
By the way, the number one guy is doing the job by himself.
Okay.
So I see that I'm going to have a bit of a wait. Not a problem. I'm kneeling. Not a problem. Here's what the problem enters. Some people, and sorry about this because this was in church, but listen, if you got a child that's under the age of, had to be under the age of a year.
Mm-hmm.
Who really doesn't look like it could eat a piece of a solid food, to bring a baby up there and to slow down the goddamn line, excuse me, I was in church, but really, trying to get a baby going, come on now, can you eat it? Can you eat it?
Are they supposed to do that?
I mean, it's like,
isn't that against the rules?
What's the etiquette?
Wait a minute.
Not to do that, I would think.
Look. I was raised in the Catholic Church. I know the rules of the I don't know the rules in the Episcopal Church.
This was a child that I think maybe the week before had been baptized or something like that. So they're bringing the baby up there. I don't think they're bringing the baby up there specifically to get the communion.
Right.
But the baby is still wearing its fancy Pope suit. Okay.
Well, he might have been being blessed.
No, I think I know when that happened.
I don't think you can in your church. Feed a baby the wafer. Now, don't get mad at me.
Hold on. It was not the holy man that was trying to feed the wafer.
All right.
The mama puts out her hands like this. Now, normally what you do is you put out your hands and you go, it's one move like that, right from the palm of your hand to the mouth.
Right.
The mama takes it like it's a Necco wafer, bites off a little bit, and then puts it down by the baby's mouth.
Yeah, I don't think that's allowed.
I don't think so either.
Well, no,
she was breaking a rule.
Now, nobody says anything, and the holy man is standing
there. This is an infant we're talking about.
Yeah, like I said, under a year old.
Okay.
And finally, she's just rubbing it around his mouth, and they seem to be laughing and having an okay time. Nobody seems uptight by this act. I don't know if it's an act of, like the dogma, the dogs are going to start making out with cats.
I don't know how it works in that church.
Or if it's teasing.
Yeah, could have been.
If she rubbed it on the gums.
I'm not kidding. It could have been.
Sure.
But the point is, it slowed down the process for approximately 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And
were you shuffling back from one foot to the next?
Very awkward.
Hold on. You're reading my mind, friend. Because imagine this. Now, of course, I'm not saying anything because I'm in freaking church, right?
Right.
But the whole time, I'm looking there like, who's so stupid that they bring a baby up to get communion?
I mean, they're going to receive their communion. Why are they bringing the flipping baby up there?
let somebody else hold the baby.
Yeah.
The flipping wafer.
So anyway, they finally get to me. I'm the last guy.
Yeah.
And he says, blah, 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 blah. And I put out my hands. Well, take it. I go to stand up, and my right foot feels like ginger ale.
Oh, no.
And that's right. I take a fall.
Oh, he's down.
In the front of the church.
Take a fall.
Oh, no.
Take a fall. And, of course, it causes quite the commotion.
Chevy Chase or just, like, down to one knee or, like did you go down?
No, I mean because I had been sitting on my knees for approximately, I think, maybe 8 or 9 minutes with a lot of pressure on my right foot.
Not a natural position.
And the thing is, I was so anxious to get this over with, I took it, I got up, and as soon as I got up, I put pressure on my right foot, and it was like,
buckle.
And he was
blueberry buckle.
And...
Wow.
And I'm trying to tell them, I think my foot fell asleep. And I did say this, Odie, my foot feels like ginger ale.
So the way you've described this, you're talking about standing up and falling, and you were kind of one of the last guys up there.
The
so
last guy.
You had the whole the whole audience.
Thank you.
The whole crowd.
Thank you. I was there.
A lot of churches would love that kind of excitement.
Now, listen, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to speak for the man upstairs. But, you know, your impatience about the baby.
I have thought much worse.
Inside the house of God.
If that was the case, I have thought much worse things about my fellow humans in church. I really have. I mean, listen, whose mind doesn't wander when you're in church?
Right.
Oh, I mean, Ryan.
God, wow.
Not mine.
Not Rob's. No. That one note is playing all the time, isn't it?
Did people rush to help you up? Was it horribly embarrassing? How'd you get
it was just embarrassing. Yeah. The holy man said, what's going on? People said, what's going on? I said, my foot fell asleep. I said, my foot fell asleep. The only thing that I said...
Nothing to see here.
Staggered back to the pew.
I only said it to one person. Right. I said, my foot fell asleep. I'm so embarrassed.
I can totally understand. I've done that.
So am I.
I felt that ginger ale feeling when you kneel.
And I'm keeping my voice down because they're still playing the... You know, the organ's still playing because the show's not over.
Didn't break into wacky music?
No, no. Once you get your wafer, you got to go back to the end of the show, right? And you got to worm your way back around. So I get up and...
It's kind of like the encore.
And I said to someone who's walking back, I the wrong thing to say, I said, you know, I said baby. And I realized that I said it just a little too loud.
Oh.
It was the baby.
Yes.
Because I saw the baby's mama turn and look at me.
Oh, dear.
You blame the baby on your fall.
Yes, I did.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I do.
There is a good save for that. Did the head guy actually, like, help you get up?
Yeah.
What you do then is you say, you've cured me.
Yes, I'm cured.
It's not that kind of church, Rob.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
That church you go to.
That's what I do.
I've been church where they dance with the snake.
They cure me every week. I've never felt
that's
better.
That's an electrical great. We all know that.
The other thing, just
glory, hallelujah.
To wrap up this wacky weekend. So I'm done with church.
I enjoy your church stories, and I hope you go more often.
I am done with church, and I think, you know what I got to go to next? The good old liquor store.
Right after church.
That's a great Catholic tradition, too.
Yeah, liquor store opens.
No, not my state, because everything's closed on Sunday.
Right. Liquor store opens at 12 noon, service at 11 o'clock.
Right.
He gets us out of there lickety-split in 48 minutes. I'm in my car. I got the prime parking spot. Liquor store is less than 10 minutes away. I pull over there. I arrive at the where the Giant is, the grocery store and the Starbucks.
Look up to heaven and say, God, am I thirsty.
And it's 5 till noon.
Uh-huh.
So I think, well, I'll be one of those people. I'll just go stand in front of the liquor store.
Waiting.
I'll be one of those people.
With the other people that are waiting and shaking.
Now I'm the only one wearing church clothes.
Everybody not shaking.
Everybody else looks like they should be in a Jay-Z video or maybe in a homeless video. Or maybe, or White Trash or Larry the Cable Guy. I mean, it was just...
Noon on Sunday.
Noon on Sunday.
Yeah.
And as I walked up, I swear to Christ, I says, hey, Don. I said, hi, how are you? He said, guy's inside. Won't open up. You want to talk to him?
you want to pull rank to break the state law?
Says, you know what? By my watch, it's 3 minutes until 12 noon.
Uh-huh.
And you want to talk about, I've been through a lot of awkward moments already this weekend.
Yes, you have.
I have been through Bart in the bathtub,
right.
The gal pal with the movie.
I understand.
The whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
This was, church falling down.
Right.
This was the most awkward time because then it was... Literally 5 minutes of me standing there, and this one guy who looks just smelly and homeless and just despicable. This guy, it looked like he could not wait to just open the bottle as soon as he got in his mouth. He's just standing right next to me. I love the show.
Yep.
Love the show. But that's, you know, it's very nice. Thank you.
He's happy hour somewhere.
Thank you. Thank
He's
you very
happy
much.
Hour somewhere.
He's one of these guys. So,
know that time you guys did that? and I'm just standing there with the guy going, oh, please, how slow can time? Well, you know, time was moving for me slower than it is for you listening to this boring story. So,
no.
So that's all.
Did he smell it all like a dog costume?
No, he did not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you know what? I bet both his feet felt like ginger ale.
Yeah.
He probably did.
You know the problem?
Yeah.
Mike, the problem is I can't go anywhere without making a friend.
That's right.
Touching a hand and making a friend.
I like people so much.
Me too.
And then I was just in an awful mood last night because of only one thing. Freaking Sopranos.
Yeah, it sucked.
Go to hell.
Incidentally, something I've said earlier than any of all of you. I'm sorry, but I'm going on record to say that right here. I have said this show has sucked all season. I have, and I think it has.
I disagree.
It's
terrible. I disagree, but last night...
It's terrible. It's all over the place, and they take 3 million years to develop any kind of plot line, and then they don't develop it at all.
Oh, and last night I'm waiting for the payoff. Waiting for the payoff. You think someone's going to get hit. You know, and even Adrian was saying to me, she said... Don't get so anxious. Because like about 9:30,
right.
I said, this really sucks.
Mm-hmm. It's horrible.
And she said, don't you see what they're doing? They're setting this up. She said, Christopher's going to get it. And at one point, she almost had me convinced because she said, the girl from ER,
right.
She said, she's working with the guys from Phil's operation.
That was wishful thinking.
And at one point, when they were standing at their cars, they were getting ready to leave and go to a meeting or whatever, and he said, should we take separate cars? She said to me, it's going to happen right now.
There's going to be a big kaboom.
I was like, oh, I said, if you're right, this whole hour was worth it. If they killed Christopher, and you know what happened?
What?
The prick got in his car and drove away.
And what is the deal? And when they panned out from the family at the end with their Christmas
together,
I said, what the hell happened here?
Wasn't it like a happy Christmas?
You know what we've done?
Like
you know what we have done?
What?
We, the Sopranos fans, have done? We have spoiled them.
Uh-huh.
They can dribble out any crap, and now we accept it, and we take it, and that was no more a finale. You want to know what a finale was? 24. That is a finale on television. That is not a finale, what they showed us.
It had promise. It started out with the frozen head, and then Tony referenced the Hindenburg, and then he got that cool beret. And
the beret, you're out of sequence. The beret was at the end.
Okay. Well,
but
all right.
The thing is, it's
I know there were good moments,
the end.
Buzz.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this stuff is happening. You know, Vito's up there in New Hampshire, and then all of a sudden, bing, bang, boom, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
It's Christmas on The Sopranos, and no one knew it was coming. We had Thanksgiving and Christmas inside of an hour.
And I'm sorry, you have to know that the people that produced that show had to know the schedule it was going to be airing.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
So what, you're going to leave us on June 4th? With an episode with them sitting around the Christmas tree?
A very special.
I watched that episode, and it looked to me like the producer said, all right, we're just gonna stop it here, and then we'll pick it up at the end. But that was not a finale. It was not in any way that they didn't intend it to be. It was not written to be.
Yuck.
This sucked.
Yes,
like the whole season.
It had its moments, but please.
Warm and fuzzy.
And you know, the Vito thing, really, I read a great analysis of that. I don't know who wrote it, but I agree. We got
George Will, Mike. It's a great analysis. George Will wrote it.
No, we got a great story, gay storyline about a character that nobody gave a rat's ass about, and that is true.
And then somebody flipped the switch and the story was over.
And the first half of The Sopranos had nothing to do. It was Tony with flashbacks, and it was horrible.
And how many times, please, why doesn't he just tell Dr. Melfi he'd like to bone her?
Because they're continuing. That's the storyline they continue because they love their women on that show. They want to keep her.
Yeah.
They want to keep Carm. You know, how much, seriously, if you went back and counted the minutes that people got camera time.
How about Carm, though? when she got the
Tony, this is the best Christmas present ever. You've got the building inspection done in my spec house. I love you, Tony. I love you.
I'm sorry. I was so mad last night because I was so disappointed.
Sucks. And listen,
and I say this again. You want to watch a good show on cable on Sunday night, you watch Huff.
Right.
The best show on television.
Yep. We got to break, Mike.
No, not because... Can I say it again? Can I scream it louder? Huff. Watch Huff. That is the best show on TV. That is the best show on television.
You just indicated we have to go to break. I was not trying to silence your pro-Huff.
Okay. Well, you're watching Huff now.
Yes. I love Huff.
I love to play in a mud. Because...
No, not Sam Huff.
You always
that's
have.
That's a good show, too, though.
You know, here's... Okay.
Yes.
Just let me take you behind the scenes for one second.
Okay, yes.
With him. For instance, because you got
understandably upset. You said something about TV show. You're like, I said we got to go to break.
Right.
You know why I said that? Not because you said that.
What?
Because he tapped me on the shoulder and then pointed at the machine like,
we need to break.
Yet, he then grabbed a Sam Huff tape that's 25 seconds long and put it in the machine.
It makes sense. This is like our little scripts here. We're all fighting for our time. That's what we're doing.
My time is Sam Huff's time.
I know it is. You got your Sam Huff joke in.
You just
got
to just be a good boy.
Sometime I will.
Just go back.
Good advice, always.
Just be a good boy.
One more thing. Don and Mike to break.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah?
Ilya Tata took a heart attack. A big one, apparently.
Oh! So there is a Santa Claus.
He's in intensive care over in Brooklyn. Doesn't look too good.
Tweet on. Drinks all around. Then, club soda for the messenger here.
You're happy about this day?
Why not? The pain of my
imaginable pain, though, huh?
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Right. Champion hot baggers, Don and Mike.
Hey, just ahead of talking about The Sopranos.
Right.
We'll have Jimmy and Tony. James and Tony.
Excellent. One's very upset, and I think one will agree with all of you.
Before that, one thing I forgot to mention about the weekend, and then I also want to just ask Mike about his weekend, because I forgot to ask.
Yes.
It's good. It's an interesting time with my girlfriend, because she spends like maybe one night where she comes over and have dinner during the week,
right,
and on the weekend go to a movie on one night and then, you know, like watch The Sopranos. Very boring existence. But what she has maintained is she still is in that trying to please happy phase, which is very nice,
yes,
but which I know is total crap in so many ways.
Lasted an awful long time.
But like this, at one point, over the weekend, I was playing Madden with Bart, and she said to me, the girlfriend, she wasn't there, she said, well, what did Bart's friend do while you guys played the game? I said, well, she sat in the room and watched us and talked to us. And she, Adrian, said to me, well, I've said to you I'd like to watch you play Madden sometime.
Uh-huh.
I said, please, come on. You don't want to watch me play a video game? How stupid is that? So, last night, push comes to shove. It's about 6:15. She's about ready to get started making dinner. And I said, listen, here's the deal. Don't rush yourself on dinner. I'm going to play a game of Madden. Have a seat. Let's see how you like. She said, okay. She sat down for a second. I said, all right, I got to get onto Xbox Live.
Right.
And you know, if the power goes off or something, you lose the connection. You've got to reset the connection. I said, listen, just to speed it up, I'll just play a game against any team. Here we go. So I started up, and I'd say, now, I started telling her all the crap. Like I said, you know, I got all the plays, and I've got some custom plays.
Right.
And she lasted maybe 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
She said, you know, really, I want to go start making dinner right now.
Yeah.
And I said, you're so full of crap. I said, I don't hold it against you.
Right.
I swear to God, I don't. But just be honest. You don't want to watch me play a video game. I said, I think you're great. I don't want to watch you play a video game.
I believe you can use the model of a child. You can use the model of a child. When a child is playing a game, the other child in the room doesn't want to watch that child play the game. That child wants to play the game himself.
Of course.
To watch somebody play a video game, I don't think anybody really likes
it. So she's trying to be nice, but I know that really underneath this all, she doesn't want to watch this. So she leaves and she says, I tell you what, I'm going to go start making dinner now. And I'm going to come back. Because it'll take me about 15 minutes to get things started. I'll come back, then I'll watch the end of the game. She says, incidentally, how long does it take you to play one of these games? I said, about 40 minutes. I said, that's if I stop for a lot of replays.
Mm-hmm.
She said, she looked at her watch. She went, okay, see you in a couple of seconds. 40 minutes later, I'm done with the game.
Uh-huh. Right.
I'm looking at the stats from the game. She comes in the room, she goes, hello? I said, hey. She said, okay, I'm ready to watch.
Right.
I said, please,
you know I'm done with the game.
So.
She said, how would I know that you're done with the game? I said, because it's been more than 40 minutes. I said,
and part of you was disappointed.
No, not at all, Mike. No.
No. There wasn't any small party you wanted to just show off a little bit?
No, because it's retarded.
Well, that's, the, you know, maybe you're right about
it's
that.
It's retarded to say what? Sit down and watch how good I am.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm going to be 48 this year.
Yeah.
Hey, please, you're my girlfriend now, right? Okay, sit down and watch me play a video game. Please. She's saying it to be polite. And I said to her, I said, you know, I think our relationship has some promise. I said, not that I'm trying to get too heavy on you. I said, but really, if you expect me to do say stuff like, you know, I'm going to watch you do like play a video game or whatever.
Right.
I won't blow smoke up your butt that way.
Not right.
So, but she is still maintaining that it was only because she wanted to cook dinner in time to blah, 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 blah. But, you know what I know.
Well, I wish her good luck in conquering the cynic.
You know and I know that she don't want to sit there and watch me play
probably not,
video game.
You never know, but probably not. You're right.
I'm positive she does.
Of course you are.
Please. Well, no, I am. You know, she said to me, well, why do you think Bart's friend sat there?
Yes.
I said, hello? She's 21. She's 21. And unlike me, when Bart is playing the game, because he's so good,
right.
He can multitask, meaning while he's watching the thing on the screen, picking his place,
he can have a conversation.
He's got his head turned. He's looking at her. He's talking to her. And at one point, you know, he was like giving her like little like love like on the head and stuff.
Right.
Meanwhile, I'm still going, select a defense. Dime, quarter, 3-4. He's like, Dad, are you ready yet? So, I mean, he's able to multitask. I can't do it. Anyway, that's all. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Just some more growing pains.
Being very nice, though. Sounds like she's being very sweet.
Oh, no. She's great. I'm very lucky. She's a nice girl. So, bet she likes hearing that. She's a nice girl.
Nah, that's not as bad as the relationship has promise. If you were adding up the two, the first one would have been.
Because
that would elicit from any person. Well, thank you very effing much. I appreciate that.
I think she's pretty used to that.
Yeah. Well, you're very good to her. You're nice to her, right?
No, and she's very nice to me. But enough about that. It's just, you know, please, come on, honey.
Come on, honey.
I'd like to watch you play Madden.
That's a nice effort.
Please. Yeah, I'd like to watch you clean my toilet.
Was there any part of you, though, that when she said that...
There you go.
Was there any part of you?
I bet at this point she probably would do it if I asked her to.
Yeah, you know what? I'd like to see Carrie do it anytime.
What, clean your toilet?
Yeah, do anything.
Oh, dear. I'm just picturing your toilet now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. You can eat off
it. Hi, Rob.
Now, hold on a second. Sorry. Got sidelined with that.
Yes.
But sometimes after I've had an exceptionally good or an exceptionally bad weekend, and even like now when I'm still freaking goddamn sleep deprived.
Right.
I mean, it feels good to get things out.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, well, no buzz. It was a busy weekend.
Yes, it was.
Many things were happening.
I understand.
I've got my daughter, and she's going through whatever issues she's going through.
I'm talking
to her. I've got my son, his rowdy friends. I've got the girlfriend. I'd like to watch you play Madden. No, you don't want to watch me play Madden.
Yeah, this is your therapy.
Bart coming in with Jack and Coke, and then, hey, Dad. We're doing it right now. I mean, not that they're doing it. No. I'm sure they did. I mean, why else would they be taking a bath together in my tub? In my tub that, incidentally, goddamn, has a Green Bay Packers mat for your feet right by it.
Oh,
yuck.
No.
That is not a tub that's made for intimacy.
We'll get you a new mat.
That is a tub. That's a tub that, since Frida passed away, is meant to be never used again.
Right.
Only use the shower.
Right.
Do not use the tub. There's separate entities in the house. And that bathroom, the tub is separate from the shower.
Now, what's done is done, though.
Yeah. And Mike.
Yes.
Speaking of what's done is done.
Yes.
Friday night.
Long time since I've done what I did Friday night.
What?
I spoke to Mike this morning.
I mean, I you know, obviously I'm out a lot more than you guys, but I haven't done this in, I don't even remember the last time I did this.
I talked to Mike this morning, and we will discuss the Sopranos in a second, I promise. But I'm so glad I remembered this, that we were just chatting about our weekend, and he said, oh, yeah, Friday night, clubbing?
Clubbing. I mean, I really went clubbing in the traditional sense of the, you know, the urban experience of going downtown in downtown Washington, D.C., and going clubbing, and I haven't done it in a very, very long time.
Robert the Mailman.
And I felt
First of all, I felt a million years old, and secondly, went to some just amazing places that you know, that I don't even remember. You know, and I really don't. It was so frantic, and it was, the pace was so quick that we would go from one joint to the next joint to the next joint. We go to one joint, and I suddenly become very aware of the age difference, because I come back from going to the can. And
with you and Carla,
Carla's down there, mm-hmm. and Carla, of course, has this guy, you know, just latched onto her right away. And he was, I ended up talking to him, very, very nice guy, but I still felt, you know, like easily this guy could at any time have said, you know, what are you being so possessive for, Dad? You know, I really felt like that could happen. But we hook up with an old friend of mine downtown, John T., who is a guy that that owns a place downtown. I kind of hope I don't screw it up. Mr. T owns a place. I think it's called Cloud Nine. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
It's a leather club.
I think I could have been in one of those places, and I didn't know it. Of course I'm kidding. But the place I went to.
Well, hold on. Did you or did you not get home at 5 a.m.?
Yes.
Oh, my. You know what that is?
Yes.
Old days, bold days. Mike is back.
Yeah. That's the old. No, I'm not. Not the way I felt. Because I had a phony feeling in the middle of the day on Saturday at about 12 noon when I was in Costco. Carl and I were shopping in Costco, and I said, this is really terrific. I do not feel bad at all. And we turned down an aisle in Costco, and I suddenly said, I want to go home.
Oh, it caught up with
me. I want to go home. Now, we went to one place. You mentioned Leather Club. We went to one place that I remember from maybe 5 or 6 years ago. It's been totally transformed. And if it's the same place, because you go down a flight of stairs, the last time I was in there, it was an after-hours kind of joint, and my only memory was walking in. There were men, there were women, but I went to the bathroom in this club. This is years ago, and my only memory was that there were a couple of guys that were in the bathroom stall, and I don't think they were doing any kind of bad illegal narcotics. I think they were vetoing it. I really think they were vetoing.
Do you think you went in a gay club this weekend?
No, I don't think I did. I don't think that the gay clubs and the straight clubs are as totally separated as they once were. So I could have been in clubs with with
Mike,
lots of men and lots of women, but I don't think I was
tell.
In a, well, I wasn't in a real gay club.
You can tell.
I guess I probably could tell. No, but I haven't been out in one of these places. Let me tell you about the coolest place I went.
You can tell.
And I might be like mixing two together here, because John T. knows everybody, and he goes in and he knows like the owners of these places, because he's a club owner down there, and we get like this great VIP treatment. I didn't have to go through a doorman or a line or anything like that. We walk right in and... No, Rob, my favorite joint wasn't called Club Lubricant. It was not. But let me tell you what they did in this one place. The place that I remember,
the Golden Boy,
has been totally remodeled. And you know, people will know the name of this place from Washington that have been there when I mention it. They have the ceiling almost appears to be round, and they've got they almost look like sprinklers that are in the system, and they shoot out, I think it's nitrous, whatever, it's like dry ice.
Dry ice.
Like cold air that comes out, and it comes out, like, and it almost looks like...
Can you be cold, Batman?
It was so cool, and at the particular part of the evening, you know me, I'm very enthusiastic. Right? This is fantastic. And we were in all these different areas, places where you'd have tables that had, the tables were bowls of ice, where you could have a bottle of champagne in the table. It was, and I'm like, really, I realize that I have suddenly turned into Mr. Country Hunyak, because I haven't been in these places. And I was very, very impressed with every place we went to. All of them, like, in different... There was one place that was a little hot, though. It got a little too intense, but, you know... Oh, and I met these new kind of guys, these new phenomenon.
Wow. Sure you were not in the gay
club? No, these were not gay men. These are... It was not called Club Asphyxiation.
Sure?
It was not called Club Autoerotic Asphyxiation. I think I went to seriously five places. I think I went to a total of five joints. And the one guy, the guys that, that apparently all these club owners rely on are these guys that promote the clubs. They're like internet guys that get the people to come to these places. And these guys are like 12 years old. They're your son's age. They're 21. They're young guys, and they're all young guys.
AJ Sopranos.
Like, they're like, hey, right? How you doing? How's it going? Yeah, this is it. Let me show you. Oh, listen, there's no need to do that. You need to use the facilities. It's right up here. You can go through. There are all these guys.
Look at
like, and then he held my hand. And no. I'm just saying.
Club Cranberry juice.
No. Why are you I was there with my girlfriend. There was no gay experience that happened. It was just very, very cool.
How long has it been
since
you've done an all-nighter in D.C.?
Oh, God. So I have no idea.
Wow.
5 years, 6 years?
Closed joints down, right?
Maybe less than that. But I don't remember. It is so long ago. But the one place I do remember is the place that had the stuff come out of the ceiling.
Sure.
Because if I hadn't had a few cocktails, I might have had to reach for the Xanax because it was claustrophobia city. Everybody was packed in.
That's good when you're out.
It was scary.
Pounding with a car so you can go clubbing. Take the Xanax along with the 8,000 beers.
Yeah, that's when I go to Club Anova at the end of the evening. That's when I end up in Club Anova. But I was I had a really, really good time. I really did. Even though I was tired and I realized that lifestyle. It's really not for me anymore because it does have.
That's why you bought a bar.
Right. Well, that's a different kind of. It's a different. I own a different kind of bar.
Look around, cafe.
No, I own a different. I'm not.
But for you,
there's a certain. I can certainly go late. I go late a lot, but it's. But that is different. That's like going late. We left, and we left at maybe 4 o'clock or something, and it was still. You could have found a lot more activity. There was a lot more going on in the city. It was very, very
sure
exciting.
You can. D.C.'s a hot town on Saturday morning at 6 a.m.
It was
here in Chocolate City. It's happening.
It was. It was. And I was very, very surprised that it was. It was,
see you in Chinatown. 6 a.m., baby.
But, we had a designated driver. And it was a lot of fun. And we all got back and, very, very sleepy when we got back. When we got back to my town. And you realize that it's just a different way of, it's a little younger, it's a little more intense, and it's a lot of fun.
Are you going downtown?
Yeah, it's very, very intense. But I also, if I open my eyes wide enough, I realize that, I got a lot of years on most of the people that are in there.
That's right.
And that's really, it's a young person's activity. It's not a person for, it's not for me. But I hung as well as I could. I hung in there. I truly did. Because really, those 20, 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds, they got nothing on me. If they sat in my section, they'd have to take them out in an ambulance, if you know what I mean.
That's right.
Because I may be like a little older in the ways of the mind, but my liver...
Yeah.
My liver is an ultimate fighter.
It's a teenage liver.
It is a teenage liver, and it's just been confirmed by medical tests.
It's like a teenage liver of a pristine 16-year-old virgin.
Like the doctor I spoke with said, I said, hey, how's my liver function? I said, well, on paper it looks good, but if you have to ask that question, you probably might want to slow down.
Damn it.
I hated that thing.
It's good you took his advice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. No, it's
well,
it's fun.
You brought it up.
That's right. I had a great time. I had a very, very nice time.
Good.
I deserved a good time. It was. My liver is not black, shrunken and scabby.
Why did you deserve a good time?
No, I just say because I do. I pat myself on the back. I deserve
a
good time.
That's a funny thing to say.
I deserve a good time.
I deserve a good time.
Absolutely.
So do I. When did it start?
I had a great time. I had a great time with everybody. Good time was had by all. Wish I remembered all the places I went to.
Impossible.
How do you remember when you're getting you're being whisked indoors and they're not like, a lot of these places don't have signs out on the front and stuff, so it's, they're not traditional places.
Right.
They're gay clubs. No, it's very, very interesting. It's a lot of fun.
All right, well, just glad to hear you pulled an all-nighter. It's been a long time.
Love the seat where you go into this one. Lots of places that were just really comfortable, neat seating areas, and the one place I really loved is they have the little table, and the table itself has a built-in ice bucket. Wow. God, welcome to heaven.
Brilliant.
Welcome to heaven.
What's that, like for the champagne?
Champagne or whatever else you wanted. You know, if you wanted a wine, if you wanted a bottle of liquor to mix your own drinks at the table, and it was great. You didn't have to sit there and wait all night for a bartender or a server.
Just like in your house.
Just like in my own. No, Rob, just like in my bedroom. It's fantastic. But we were so tired.
Yeah,
or so tired the next day when life got back to normal, when it wasn't Club Mike and it was, you know, wandering around stinky Costco Mike. You know, sampling the fruit bar that I almost vomited on the lady's lap.
Oh
my God. Have you ever been in Costco and had that experience when you think something's going to taste good and they give you, you know, you say, is this dog food? And she said, I said, what is this? It's a fruit and nut bar. And I took a bite of it and I almost went,
taste of the night before.
It would have been horrible. Would have been horrible.
Why, this smells like Grand Marnier.
No. Oh, didn't visit that thing. Thank God.
You didn't?
Oh, what, God forbid.
What'd you stick with?
I didn't stick with anything. That might have been the problem. You don't do that when you go
over the
when
place?
You go out clubbing, you go all over the place, yeah. You know? Start out with a little brewski, and then there's a little champagne at the next location, and then, you know, I believe Mr. Goose might have come out towards the
end.
And then we ended up at Club Reflux. Fantastic. I would, you know, hey, would I love to do it all the time? I would. I'd have a great time. I love to socialize like this. You can't. I don't think young people can't even do that. I don't think you can do it like six nights in a row.
You used to do it four nights in a row.
It's different than six, baby. It's a hell of a lot different than six. That's minus two.
Baby.
That's 48 hours, my friend.
Correct.
That's 48 hours. 48 hours of clubbing. If only I dressed better. Really. If only I dressed better. Because I was wearing gym shorts. And roller skates. I really didn't feel like I was appropriately dressed,
sure.
and a kind of a beret like Tony was wearing, and a plain white T-shirt with a red stripe around the top.
Uh-huh.
That was my outfit. So it was good because really, when there were handicap ramps, they could like roll me into the club.
Why is it?
I left my sports cup in the town car. Help me, everybody.
Why is it?
And Carla had a great time too.
Good.
She really did.
Okay. Hi, Afterthought.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for throwing me under that bus.
Hold on.
I love my Carla. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
She was wonderful in it. And even when she was, you know, being observed by the young bucks.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I feel like the old buck. And I feel it's necessary to take my antlers and perhaps occasionally stab.
That's right. This way, Ace.
Butt heads. I think I might have said Ace a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Slick Ace. Sport. Chum. You know. Excuse me, chum. Can I interrupt this conversation for a second?
Sorry, I was just talking to the lady.
Pound sand, ass. You know? I don't know why people got upset with that, Rob. A couple of guys, you know, talking to Carl, and I'd sit down and go, okay, hope you enjoyed your brief conversation. Now pound sand, fat ass.
That's a good approach.
My gal.
Hi, I'm Carla, and this is my insecure older boyfriend, Mike.
Hi, nice to meet you. Can you please leave? Could you please leave now?
Hi, this is Mike. I'm sure he thinks you are undressing me with your eyes right now.
And then I just sit there and look. That's when I wouldn't say anything. And I just stare and just go, Or you do it subtly and you say under your breath, very nice to meet you. Pleasure. Nice to see you, fat ass.
And does Carla get equally jealous when a cougar comes in?
I didn't have many cougars.
Huh.
You know what? Really. I could lie. I could lie and say it was like it was 15 years ago, you know, and you could like, you know, you and I could walk around and maybe drop a little radio name and get some attention. It does not exist anymore. It exists with men. With men, it exists. With women, you know, doesn't seem to be.
I was asking about dropping.
What do you think that like the 50-year-olds would be showing up, like knocking on my door, and I was like, "Hello, Mike, we're big fans. Boy, can I see your penis?"
I was wondering if turnaround is fair play. If you know, she's got younger men that are coming on to you. If you're there, regardless of if you dig a ditch, and remember, Danny, everybody, you know. The world needs ditch diggers. The
world needs ditch diggers, too.
But I was just wondering if any of the cougars would happen to, you know, see and go at the end of the night, you know, well, there's a man that looks like he's got some promise.
No.
What, Rob? What?
Mike, will you light my Misty Light 120? Thank you very much.
I had many more conversations with guys than I did. I don't think I might have said said hello to a waitress or two.
Hot guys?
Most of them were very handsome, Rob. Thank you for asking. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's I guess if, you know, if certain older guys can do that, I can hang at least one night every 6 months or so.
Come on. You do good most nights.
I do late. I do late. I do very late. I can stay up late. This is a different kind of staying up late. This is thump, 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 pound, pound, pound. Yeah. And I'm talking about before you get out of the car. Hey! Now, you know what I'm talking about? It's so intense. And it's so... But all I was thinking that whole time is that I just need to dress better. Yeah. I want to dress better.
You got age issues.
I really have to dress better.
You have age issues. And I don't think it has anything to do with the age of your girlfriend.
Yeah, I think I have age issues, too.
I do. I think
What's the guy's name on The Sopranos?
Which guy?
Phil. You saw that scene? Okay. Well, let's ask Uncle Mike, the one he was identifying with on The Sopranos. Okay?
What, when Phil had his heart attack?
Yeah. Hello? Welcome, everyone.
Hey, did you notice that the chick that Phil was walking towards when the building blowed up real good
was his housekeeper?
Same chick that was cleaning his house later.
And didn't you think that they did the Russian thing?
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely. Yep. And Tony had the one-legged Russian deal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I believe I met some Russians, too, on Friday night.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, a little scary.
Were they white?
Yeah. I don't think we had any black Russians that night.
White Russians, mine.
There we go. This is nice.
It's a drink.
White Russian or black Russian or a drink.
Yes, right. Okay.
They're both are.
I got you. Okay. But, well, don't be so tight about how old you are.
Right. I'm really not.
Don't worry about
be
it.
Be comfortable with that. I'm telling you that I think that you have to be a realist and you have to be aware of the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be aware of who
Hold
you
on.
Are. I'm very aware of who I am.
Can you still or can you not drink any 21-year-old under the table?
Oh, that's not even a contest.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Atta boy.
Be proud.
If push comes to shove.
I don't believe that is an age-related skill. I don't believe that the young bucks are, you know what I mean?
Then
I don't think that.
Problem?
I think that really
then
yeah, there
the
is
problem?
No problem.
You
I can drink anyone under the table, but also it's time to evaluate that part of my life. And that's not an age issue at all. That's a health issue. You know, if I did what those people do, you know, and went out 4 or 5 nights a week, I've seen guys that do that are my age. I don't want to look like them. I really don't.
Well, what do you think, Tom?
You know what they sound like? Yeah.
I think they look fine.
I'm just being Dr. Melfi with you for a second.
I
don't want to die. This is kind of transformed from your weekend to you know, really the hang up with the age. Don't be hung up about your age.
I'm not hung up.
Yeah,
I was aware of my age.
You got issues with your age.
I never said I had issues with
yes,
my age.
Yes, you did.
Did I say that? Did I use the word issues, or did he say issues first?
You said, yes, I have age issues.
Oh, I agreed with him?
You did agree initially, yes.
Well, not really.
Uh-huh. Well, you shouldn't.
Okay.
I don't really. I mean, I am aware of reality. That's
BFD.
What I'm aware of reality.
You're Mike O'Mara.
Shut up, Buzz.
What does that mean, Buzz?
Mike O'Mara.
You know what transcends age.
You know, can I tell you? No, Rob, I don't think it's because of that. I think he was actually standing up for me there for a second because, you know, we've hung out a couple of times.
Yeah.
So that's
You're Mike O'Mara.
Right. And they can never take that away from him.
That's, that equals a cup of warm spit.
All right, well, hold on a second.
Or that stuff that came out of the ceiling, which I still think was cool. And it was a little warm, and the stuff that came out of the ceiling was cool.
Cool mist.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Well, that's the level you're on at that hour.
It's like a McDLT, right?
It's just like all you're thinking about.
The hot keeps the hot side hot, and the cool keeps the cool side cool.
Yeah, it was very cool, and we were very warm, because at that point of the evening, your mind's going, duh. Warm, cold, good. Ice, cold, good.
How old are you?
I am 28.
How old are you?
I'm soon to be 47.
How old are you right now?
46.
Okay. 46.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. What?
Need I remind everyone that 47 mark is coming up sooner than later?
No.
Hello, June.
We know.
Welcome to the month of June, since someone else brought it up.
All right.
Thank you for bringing up my birthday, Don.
Couple of weeks.
Hold on a second. I have to take my ice pack off. There we go. I feel great. I feel fit as a fiddle.
How's your new orthopedic chair doing?
It's doing fantastically.
Mike really did spend his own money to buy his own old man chair for the show today.
I did. And you're bringing it
to the new digs, right?
It is fantastic. Okay. It's worth the ridiculous amount of money I spent on it.
Excellent.
It's fantastic. Yes, I'm now Mr. Burns.
Nah.
I don't have any issues.
Yeah.
And I hold up my ice pack. Jesus Christ. Yeah, let's go out clubbing. Yeah, so do I leave my walker in the car or take it with me?
46.
I'm fine.
You're fine.
Yeah. It's a hard 46, though.
Okay.
There's 46 and then there's 46, you know, chill out, relax, you know, enjoy, and then there's my 46. It's a different kind of 46.
Okay.
Got to be aware of it so you can deal with it. That's it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad we had this time together.
Well, you do the same thing. This is my therapy. You have your therapy. I have mine.
That's why I said I'm glad we had this time together.
I think I've covered it all. I think I'm doing just fine, and I'm very, very content.
Good.
And also, my back doesn't hurt anymore, so I feel good. So I'm very excited.
So it's fixed forever?
No, it's better than it's been.
For now it's better?
It's better than like it's been in 2 weeks, which you know, I can attribute to my chair. My new chair. Mock it all you will, but I love this. Look what the handles do. You ready for this? Everybody take a close look at this.
Wow.
Did you see that? The armrest just went down 4 inches.
They come with defibrillators?
Yes.
I mean, got like the battery packs, the jumper cables we can hook up to your nipples. No, you ever do have that?
No, what it's got here, it's got a little bitty hole here, and you can keep your Xanax right in here.
Oh, that's nice.
It's going to be fun.
All right, old man.
Okay. You hook it to the track, it goes right up the steps.
That's fantastic.
Okay, we got to break that one.
I know. It carries my clapper. And my medic alert bracelets. All 8 of them.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Not really.
Let's move it up.
See, is something I should tell you. A real estate agent.
Yeah?
I've been See, I knew some shit was going on. Why the f*** did you lie to me? I wasn't sure how it ended with you two. So you sent me straight. Stupid, right? Point is, I want everything above boards, as always, between you and me. So I don't give a f***. Do what you want with her.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Stay classy, Sacramento, with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
God, just another criticism. Haven't we already seen Christopher down this road before?
Like 3 or 4 different times.
Yeah.
We're supposed to like the fact that, what's he doing, crack?
Heroin. I think he's smoking heroin, right?
Heroin.
The only thing that guy does great is when they were really high, laying on the couch together.
Right.
I kept thinking he was going to spill his water. He was holding the water at such a precarious angle, and she was just falling all over
her,
like,
underwear,
high and drunk.
She looked pretty good in her underwear, though.
She did. Juliana Margulies.
Little cottage cheesy, I thought. A
little bit, right at the end as she turned a certain way, but nice tummy.
Listen, we've got nothing but bad things to say about the finale of The Sopranos. Midway point.
What? What's the problem?
Let's go right to the horse's mouth.
I don't understand what you got. We got what's the effing deal? You sit here talking about how bad the show is? I don't put you all to a wall. I don't understand what the trouble is here. Don't smirk at me.
First.
Don't laugh at me. Who's the big guy with the big head?
Bobo Spiewak.
Yeah, you could end up in a lime pit.
Yeah,
you don't understand. You like the show.
Okay. First.
Give me first. A break. I tell you, I'm not happy.
What about that lame ending?
Lame ending?
Yeah, Christmas.
You want a lame ending? I tell you, you don't like the lame ending? I tell you, you know what you can do with the ending? You can take it and shove it right where the sun don't shine. How about that? I wish I could use bad words. How come I can't use bad words on the radio show?
Can I tell you one thing? That there was one scene I didn't care for.
Where's my sandwich?
I know.
Where's my stuff to eat? I always come in and you give me a sandwich just the one time. You don't give me nothing to eat?
I know.
Screw all of you.
Hey, Tony, I got to tell you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the show last night,
yeah.
Buzz called me up.
It was the season finale.
That's right.
You know what his favorite scene was?
Which one?
The one where AJ was in bed with that chick.
Mm-hmm.
with that Puerto Rican.
All grown
Why
up.
Why was that his favorite scene? Why did he tell you that?
Because he called me up and he said, look, it's AJ without his shirt on.
Yeah.
What? This guy, you know, you're the one that always does that to me. I get sick and tired of everybody. It's great to judge, but you know something? At a certain point, you're going to be judged. I had that experience. Everybody's going to be judged. That's you're going to find out exactly what's going to happen to all of you. You're going to be in that wrong boat, and you're going to have to be looking at the light like I did with Calm next to my side, and you're going to just say to hell with it, with your judgments, and you, oh, we didn't like it. Oh, it was a good finale. Oh, the hell with all of you. I say to heck with you. You're all full of it. You're stupid. You don't know what's going on, and you don't know what's going on with reality. All right? And I'm not building the spec house.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you are now.
Yes, you are now.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Is Jimmy here?
Who? Oh, the fag?
James Gandolfini.
James Gandolfini. What, well, you getting tired of talking to Tony? You want to talk to James?
The man who plays you on TV?
All right, get the door. James, come on in here.
Jimmy. Like now. Hey, Jimmy.
May I apologize? For that. That was way out of line.
Hey, James.
He's upset. He does not respond well.
Jim.
Yes, yeah, I'm right here. He doesn't respond well to criticism.
Right. As an artiste.
Yeah.
You can look at it objectively.
Oh, certainly I can.
Last night's episode,
I'm in total agreement with all of you. I've told the producers for quite some long time now that I really believe that the show should be more centered on certain storylines that stay consistent throughout the season. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, David Chase and his compatriots have felt it necessary to move in so many different directions that they don't follow up.
Right.
And therefore, it leaves the audience and several of the cast members, including myself, just a tad frustrated. So I sympathize and concur Good. With many of your observations in a very strong way. So strongly that I have actually met with the producers on several occasions to say, for example, you don't have to linger on the Kevin Finnerty storyline as long as you did. Please, you know, take it to its logical...
That's where you were when you were in the coma.
Right.
But you got to act like the way you are in real life, like the way you're talking now.
I enjoyed that, but I also thought that it was it lingered, and there was no need for that lingering. As an actor, you practice your craft. You try your very best to do the best work that you can do, right. And you are only as good as your writers. So and may I say, in this particular case, the writers may have let us down just a little bit.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I'm so sorry, and I've also offered my services that I would be more than happy to write for Tony Soprano, who is a delightful, a delicious character. I would be more than welcome, more than amenable to the idea of doing some script writing on my own. Well, so really, want me to do that, I could do that.
What type of dialogue would you write for the adorable Tony Soprano?
I think there would be more...
Off the top of your head, just riff with me.
That's hard for me to do. If you want Tony, you're going to have to get Tony. What I would do, I can say the summaries of some of the treatises that I've written that would actually be prepared for Tony. For example, I would take his relationship with Christopher to a more dramatic conclusion.
Yes.
As opposed to him simply walking away and saying, he lied to me. I would not have Christopher in the home at the Christmas celebration as it was at the end. I found that very very lacking in credibility.
All right, well, let's. I know Tony's...
I am, in truth, a quite talented scribe.
Really?
Tony, come on back in.
Oh, God almighty. Is it getting thick in here? Where are my boots? I gotta get my big BS boots, the giant BS boots that I have to wait to all the BS with Mr. Finity over there. What a bunch of crap. It's crap. The fact is, it's a great show. The whole country watches it, and we're number one. We're always gonna be number one, and we'll lap up. You'll lap up as a viewer whatever I trowel out, okay? You understand? If I want to take one on a cake and serve it to you, you're the audience. You're going to eat it. You know why? Because Tony Soprano did it on the cake.
Right.
That's the way that works. And that's the way it's always going to work. All right? All the storylines are good. The one where I hit the football helmet on the car with AJ.
Why'd you get so soft with Phil, though?
I didn't get soft with
you
Phil.
You got soft with Phil in the
hospital.
Okay,
I'm not going to tip my hat because they don't like us doing that, but you wait till the final eight. All right? The final eight, the world's going to come together in the final eight. You're going to understand. All right? I thought, personally, if you're going to ask what I enjoyed, I enjoyed kicking the frozen head into the sewer. I thought that worked real well. Mm-hmm. That was a good scene. I'd like to see more of that. Yeah. But I also liked everything about The Sopranos because it's great.
But what about
Isn't
the
it
fact?
Great?
What about the
Isn't
fact?
Isn't it a great show?
Hey, Damone.
Don't you like the show?
Who's like a Coke with no ice?
Yeah, Coke. The lady will have the linguine with white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That's a kick. I like that. That's a good show. I watch a lot of movies. Not as many as I should. I was watching a great documentary on Stonewall Jackson the other night.
I watched, what were you watching last night? I watched you watching Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah,
having
depression.
Having your ice cream.
Oh, damn it. Talking about depression and Abraham Lincoln. Come on. Where's the Hitler stuff? Bring the Hitler on.
Tony.
Yeah.
How can you possibly stand to make out with Carmella?
Okay, you want to talk? You want to talk? Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
Like I'm the one that raised the refrigerator? I don't know what she's been eating. A couple of times, maybe gag. I don't like that. No, that's not fun. You're right about that. But, you know, there are other scenes where I've enjoyed the company of other women, if you know what I mean. It's a pretty good opportunity for my fat ass to crawl all over these women. I think it's great.
Does Edie Falco suffer from VO?
VO? Yeah. Yeah, but it's, you don't have to get there. When you're doing a scene, you don't have to worry about it.
Let me say FO, feminine odor.
Either one.
You don't have to worry about doing a scene or doing any of that stuff. It doesn't really matter. But you like the show, don't you? Please tell me you like the show, because I don't want to get mad.
I thought the one last night really sucked. That was really bad. I'm sorry.
You say sucked.
I wanted to
like
it.
You look at me and say sucked one more time, I'm going to put you through a wall. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You use the word sucked. You can say it wasn't satisfying. You'd like it to be better. You know, you'd like it to be nicer. It doesn't matter. But you say that word sucked, and that's it. This conversation is going to be taken to its logical conclusion,
Jimmy.
All right?
James. Jim. JG, my man.
I am so tremendously embarrassed at the last gentleman's comments. I think it's completely out of hand. Please, on behalf of me, Jimmy Gandolfini, will you please accept my most humble apologies? Please, I'm so sorry. I'll say this, Falco can't sneak up on anyone. We concur on that one particular aspect of her hygiene.
How do you like the scenes where you get to make out with Edie Falco?
I find them, for character development, I'm a professional, I'm a trained actor.
What about as a man?
She is not my bag of peanuts, but but I will tell you, yes, that's what I said, my bag of peanuts. She's not exactly who I would choose to mate with in real life.
And I know that this is kind of a wild card. I think if we open the door, Carr may be outside as well. She might want to come.
She would be in the back.
She might want to come and just
She would be
something.
In the back of the room if you'd like to have her.
Come on, Carr. Come on, Carr.
How dare you? How dare you speak of me like that? God forgive you for all of your comments. You are disgusting and rude.
I thought he was your handsome little man.
Where's my handsome man?
How about...
God forgive you for talking about feminine odor.
How about when Tony gave you the spec house for Christmas?
Oh, Tony! A spec house the inspection came through. This is the best Christmas present ever. God forgive all of you for talking about my feminine odor.
I can smell you over here.
You're going to go straight to hell.
Bye,
say a Hail Mary.
I told you she's a bit high strung.
Yeah.
Very, very, very. She tried to grab my bag of peanuts in the pool. She told me it was for the scene.
Ah.
I disagreed rather strongly. I said, please, can we have Ms. Falco not touch me down there when we're trying, when we are trying to do a scene?
Okay. Well, Jim,
I'd love to stay, but unfortunately, my time runs short.
We got to know. 1 to 10, and give us a rating, your personal rating on last night's episode.
Oh, good Lord, it was a 4.
All right.
Well, a solid 4.
Thanks for coming in,
Thanks Rose. So much.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Nice to see you. Ta-ta. Jim Gandolfini.
Oh, man, you want me to grab the microphone now?
Yeah.
I swear to God, if it wouldn't kill me, I'd whack him. And sorry about your troubles, Phil.
You are him.
That's it. I thought the show was the best we've ever done.
Huh.
What do you think about that? Huh? You can come down to Sack Reality's, have a chicken palm sub, and we'll sit down and discuss all the nuances and the details. Or perhaps you would like to go for a ride in the country where I could go into more detail about the way I feel about my livelihood. Capiche?
Hey.
Thank you. I left you a 6-pound salami in the green room.
Oh, that's nice.
That's it. That's nice. Yeah, and that's nice. What's the T-shirt? What's that? What's the T-shirt? What's it elk? Is it elk season?
Yeah.
Yeah, you never hunted anything in your life. I hunt people. people. That's right. I whack them, twist their heads off and all that. I got to go, okay?
Go control your wife.
I got to go control. She's very upset.
I know she
yelling
is.
At me. I'm
she's
like,
got feminine
right,
odor.
Come on. Come on. I'm sorry.
Stinky.
Didn't mean to say that. All
thank
right?
you, Tony.
You stink, all right? Thanks a lot. Take care. Goodbye.
Bye, Tony. And, well, we got a break. I know. Everybody's calling. I guess we might take a call about The Sopranos. Kind of run into the ground. Oh, Carm. You know, maybe we won't take any calls. I don't know.
Hi, Carm.
Hello.
Hi, Carm.
I like your shirt. You're my handsome man. I know you wanted that one more time.
I sure did.
Thank you, Tony. My handsome man.
I don't know. We might be sopranoed out now. I don't know about those phone calls.
That's it's interesting.
We come right back.
Interesting talking to all of them.
Pretty good.
They all sound the same to me.
Pretty good for a guy going through some kind of midlife crisis, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be.
I know. Found that out before.
Don and Mike to break.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
For a me of mine.
Yes.
Where can we buy weed?
The cannabis?
Yes.
Weed.
For Buzz. Cannabis for Buzz.
Cannabis is very good, cannabis.
Cannabis for Buzz. Cannabis for Mike Elston.
Legalization for the cannabis.
Merci.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That last tape was from a wonderful movie called The Ambassadors.
Rob and I were
in France
about 5 years ago with our families. The best part, oh, hold on.
When I hear them, I like to fall out.
Fall out.
Don and Mike.
The best part of that was really walking around Paris with a tape recorder, trying to ask French people why they bent over for Germany.
Yeah, they didn't like it.
Well, some of them understood, some of them didn't. The ones that understood didn't care for it too much, I right?
Back in the old WW2.
Uh-huh.
Oops.
Never
there we
forget.
Go. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
We're doing great.
Monday.
Right.
Yeah, right. Anyway, Sprint is up. It was really funny. I was just wondering, have you guys talked about the Lost season finale yet?
No, we haven't. And Mike's doing his incredible Lost bit tomorrow.
Yes, right.
So wait, when Mike does all the voices,
all the people on the island,
the fat guy, the girl, the guy with the thing, yes, all right. of the people.
Yeah, but
yes.
Don't worry, they're all going to sound the same.
Well, of course they will, and it would be perfect, just like Sprana's one. Okay, well, thank
all right.
you.
Glad you liked the skit, honey.
Okay, bye.
Bye, bye. Right.
Thanks. Hope you enjoyed the sketch.
Bye, bye. Clearly, she did.
She seemed to.
She did. No. I know we were in the minority. Mike and I,
uh-huh.
We don't watch Lost.
No, I don't watch Lost. I do wish that I had gotten into Lost
it's
and watched it. That
I
was fun.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, howdy.
Howdy. How you guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, this question is for Mike. I
yes, sir.
Know how fast is your wheelchair from zero to top speed?
That would be an age reference there.
You know,
but let's get past that.
Gotcha. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi there. You do have the age issues, Mike.
Yes, I do. I have serious age issues.
Hello?
Issues. Say that 20 times fast.
No, thank you.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
Okay.
Just wanted you to know y'all are pretty hot.
Pretty hot.
Well, have you been drinking?
So are you, honey.
No drinking today.
Really?
No drinking today. Just wanted you to know, 46 or not, you're still pretty hot.
Really?
Because drinking helps.
Wow.
Yeah, she's talking to you, Mike.
No, thank you, baby. I appreciate that.
There you go.
Okay, well, keep up
about,
the hard work.
How about you, Cougar? What do you look like, honey?
Well, we should establish an age if she's... throwing out compliments because I'm 46, I wouldn't mind knowing, you know, a lady doesn't like to, methinks the lady doesn't like to reveal the age, but how old are you, sweetie?
I'm 48.
Oh, yeah. So that is prime Cougar territory.
That's right. A compliment.
Yeah, see, I've still got a lot to go.
Yeah, out there at the bar scene, try to get it done, or are you in a relationship?
Don't need the bar scene.
Don't need, are you married, lady?
Yeah, five times.
Five
five-time loser, Mike.
Yeah, baby.
Five-time loser.
All right, Liz.
No.
Why did all five guys leave you?
Variety. We must have variety in our lives.
You sure you haven't had any cocktails today?
No cocktails.
Okay.
I've just been in the traffic for hours.
Just the last one. Why did the last one leave you?
The last one. Oh, I still have him.
Okay, but the one before that, why did
the
he
last
leave
breakup?
Why did
the
he,
one before that?
Why did number four leave you?
That was a mistake.
Well, it was his mistake or yours?
Why did number three leave you?
He died.
Okay, that's valid. Why did number two leave you?
Please don't say he died, because then it's a black widow.
Why did number two leave you?
Oh, God, I can't think back that far. Uh-huh. Let's see.
And why did the first man you were married to leave you?
Well, I was only 17 at the time, so...
So you married too young.
Yeah, I married too young.
Okay.
Number
but,
three...
You know, yeah, I stayed there 7 years, so, you know, I gave it a shot. We just grew apart, and those things happened.
Did number three die or kill himself?
Y'all are a trip.
She's laughing about it,
thank
Rob.
You.
That's a good sign.
Yeah,
that's a relief.
Thank you for having the courage to say what we're all thinking about.
Okay, well, so I'm really that y'all are all taken, because I'm working on number six. Okay?
Is Milady, by any chance, is Milady festooned with a lot of costume jewelry?
Costume jewelry? Oh, No. You just...
Could you describe yourself? Maybe that's what I really want.
Yes,
could you describe
please
yourself for us?
What do you think? It must be really bad, huh?
No. Quite the contrary. We all think you're lovely.
We're all intrigued.
I'm thinking with about 30, 40 more pounds, a grown-up to see SpaceX.
I didn't catch that. 30, 40 more pounds?
A heavier... Sexy sissy SpaceX is what I picture with
and
you.
And it's possible.
Yes.
Oh, No.
How far
no
off are we?
No. probably more Jamie Lee Curtis.
Ah, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Ah, yes. Hermaphrodite, meaning you have a penis and a vagina.
Oh, you're bad.
Do you have a short so haircut bad or a long haircut?
I have long hair.
Did you say blonde?
Long.
Long, okay.
It's highlighted, right.
Uh-huh. How's your body, if you don't mind us asking, after 48 years?
It's still hanging in there.
Really?
People don't believe I'm 48.
How's your butt? Good and tight?
Good and tight.
How about those puppies? How are they?
They're fine, too.
You let the twins come out and play a lot?
So do I pass?
Little Sagolini?
No.
Little Varicose Venio?
She sounds sexy.
All right, crazy guys. I got to roll, okay?
Yeah.
I'm getting into a bunch of traffic.
Enjoy your Misty. What was that cigarette from before? The Misty.
Misty 120.
Misty 120.
Have years of the sun rendered thy skin cracked and leathery?
Good night, handsome fellows.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
Bye.
A fan of compliment.
Bye, Leatherface.
Okay.
Bye, bye.
Bye,
bye.
Bye.
Bye, bye.
Take care.
I love Don and Mike's show. How did I know that all five husbands had left her? Four out of the five. Yeah.
Except the one that committed suicide.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike show, hello.
Over the weekend, I was listening to the archives since you guys weren't on, and remember the guy right at the top of the page, Kooky Pastor Harry, says the Antichrist is coming back tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, now hold on, just slow down for a second. You're talking about you were on our website, donandmikewebsite.com, going through the past archives of the show, and I guess Rob had booked as a guest, but some guy who said the world's coming to an end tomorrow?
Yeah, Pastor Harry.
Okay.
Pastor Harry.
And?
Well, he asked you to have him on a show. Don't you remember that lunatic? He was hilarious.
I believe you left it that we'd have him back if the world was still around after the date. So
well,
we can
you,
have him on in a week.
Maybe you should check in, because tomorrow... For 666.
Yes.
I mean, it's a jive. It's as jive a radio thing as you can do. We're doing what we do best, which is having Tom come down.
Oh, I saw the outfit. I saw the wonderful costume.
Yeah.
Tom Gavin tomorrow will be dressed as the devil, and he'll have a stack of $1 bills. Come on down and kiss the devil.
Kiss the devil, Tom.
Kiss the devil,
thanks,
Tom.
Mike, have a good day.
Thank you, my friend.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, come on down. And Tom is really up for this role. And most importantly, today when we had him on the phone, he was asking to speak to Satan already.
And he's got the great voice for it, you know, among his many voices.
Yeah,
he's going to have a great time tomorrow.
Yeah, that's tomorrow as we go all 666.
Come down and see Tom's horns. Come out.
And his tail. We've got him a horn. We actually have two horns.
Good.
A tail, a pitchfork,
right,
and a big ass cape.
Smooch Satan. Buffs Beelzebub.
Robot. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi,
just wanted to call and wish Mike a happy birthday.
Well, it's a little early, don't you think? That would be June 22nd.
You're so early.
You really are.
Shut up.
And shouldn't you be tending to that child? Kids.
I'm sorry.
Listen to those kids.
Well, they don't sound happy, but thank you for your birthday wishes.
Oh, well, I love you guys very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Sorry about that.
Hello, Donna.
Another breeder.
Hello.
Joe.
Yeah, this is Joe Ardinger. What's happening?
Hey, Joe, you got to get them some Iron Maiden Number of the Beast. They can't be playing Hell's Bells. They need 666.
Okay, I'll tell them, dude, because I'm Joe Ardinger. I'm getting it done.
I'm sorry?
I'm getting it done.
You rock, brother. Thanks, man.
Right. Hey, hey, screw off, faggot.
Bite me.
Do you think he's made the connection yet?
Do you want to talk to Donna Mike, really?
No, man. Just make sure you get him Iron Maiden Number of the Beast for tomorrow.
Any other messages for Joe?
No.
Rob, give me the timpani. My friend, it's your lucky day.
Thank you very much.
Hang on.
It is your lucky day.
Wow, this is... We normally don't bestow this award early in the week.
You are, and I'm going to go out on a limb. It's only Monday, June 5th.
Right.
You are the dumbest call we are going to receive all week.
All week. Congratulations.
All week.
The dumbest caller of the week.
Have you figured out why...
You're such an idiot.
Why are you the dumbest caller of the week?
Because I'm a dumbass.
Well, no, why? Why? What have you done?
Specifically,
try
why?
Try to process it and think why. Why would we be saying that about you?
It'd be great.
Because I'm trying to be Mr. Helper.
Nope.
No.
Not that. See, it's a specific. It's a more specific reason.
This is why he could even have the crown for the month of June.
Yes, this is true.
Why are you the dumbest caller of the week thus far?
Because my mom's from Toronto.
No.
Well, that means she's the dumbest one of the month.
Even dumber than we thought.
Sir, can I tell you?
Tell me, please.
My name is Don, and this is my best buddy, Mike.
How do you do?
I love you, gentlemen, and I apologize. My phone sucks.
No.
Do you know the mistake?
No, sir, I do not.
What was your mistake? Who did you... No, I'm not going to give it to you.
No. Yeah. See, you're being way too helpful.
I'm being way too
helpful.
You'll
never guess it.
You still don't know what you did wrong, do you?
No, sir, I don't.
What do you think? What do you think you might have done wrong? What do you think the mistake you made?
Not recognizing you guys?
Mike is handling it like Chris Hansen.
I think he
just got it.
Yeah,
he did.
We just got it.
And who did you think we were?
I thought you were dumbass Joe.
There it is.
And listen, don't call him dumbass, because compared to you, he's like a baby genius.
You're wearing the crown right now.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay, thank you, ass.
Ed from Bowie.
And even dumber.
Sure.
To cement it, he gives his name.
You want to identify yourself?
In a world where only
I'm from Pizza County. I'm not too bright.
One man found a way to bring good news to his
family. Thank you, gentlemen.
He made it up.
Any other personal information about yourself you'd like to give out?
I have a very small...
That's pretty good.
Big man to admit that.
Nice job, Ed.
Dumbest call of the month. Only 5 days into the month. Dumbest call of the month.
Thank you.
Woo! I rock!
Okay, you'll get the T-shirt.
And he was happy about it, like so many dumb ones
are.
Sure.
Bye, dummy.
Dummy!
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye, dummy.
That was Ed from Bowie, everyone.
Dumbass.
He wears the...
Ed?
Yes?
Hang your phone up, Ed.
You're very special.
You're done now.
Special.
Okay. Ahead. I am hanging up. Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So long, Essie.
There he is.
Special Ed calling.
Buzz?
Yes?
What's on News and Comments tonight, my friend?
Tonight, Antichrist to arrive tomorrow.
Oh, boy. I told you. Tom's showing up.
God takes a swing at Pat Robertson.
Good.
And indecent exposure season is officially open.
Oh, tell me about it.
Stay tuned for News and Comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional. I'm in.
The number 15 Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
But tomorrow is promised to no one, my friend.
Tomorrow is a scary day, Don.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
And the day after tomorrow,
It's going to be cold and New York City is going to be under snow.
No, Mike.
Oh, it's a movie. I'm sorry.
Day After Tomorrow.
Hump Day!
Yeah, baby!
Downside of the weekend! Here we go right now. Who feels like the 5 o'clock whistle? Kick ass!
Phony radio enthusiasm.
I love phony radio enthusiasm.
Jive.
Who does?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Here we go.
Where's my duck clock?
It's not even 5 o'clock on the West Coast yet. And it ain't Friday. What are we doing? We're rocking out, dude.
Rocking out, baby.
Rocking out.
There's the Monday 5 o'clock whistle. At 6:20 Eastern Time, baby.
Nice.
There's the town crier for Ben Franklin Day, baby. All right, we just broke it.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hi. Happy Monday.
Same to you.
Hospitals were predicting expectant mothers would squeeze them out in record numbers today and tonight. To avoid, of course, giving birth to the Antichrist. Tomorrow is 06-06-06.
We're having Tom on the show as the devil tomorrow.
That's right. And because that bears the slightest resemblance to the Bible's mark of the beast, it's time to break out some good old-fashioned irrational human behavior.
I am the God of hellfire!
So you say.
And I bring you fire!
All right, let's hear it.
There won't be a lot of weddings tomorrow, but then there usually aren't on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Even the scary movie coming out tomorrow is a remake. Tomorrow, we'll have either the most interesting newscast ever because of 666, or it'll just be another June 6th.
See, that's the part of you that believes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, part of me wants to.
Tomorrow will be just... Yeah. It'll be everything the same.
Exactly.
Everything the same.
That's
dogs
my point.
And cats!
Now, the town of Hell, Michigan has it right. The mayor there owns the souvenir shop with a lot of timely T-shirts and mugs for
the day. We've called Hell before.
And a lot of stuff that will be on sale for $6.66.
I think I'm not sure what approach we'll take.
I think we should
on tomorrow's show, but let me just tell you that.
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I don't know if it'll be like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it'll be like this. But I know that tomorrow on the show, we're talking to the guy from Hell, Michigan.
May I just say that I think in order to talk to him about some of the merchandising he's doing, mm-hmm. this would be the proper approach to take.
Could be. We're talking with the mayor of hell.
So do you find that the interest has been piqued because of the 666 date and that you're able to sell more merchandise consistent with quality?
Upside down is 999. Now, hell is bad, right?
You're right.
Go!
Go, and of course it's a difficult time of year for you to actually freeze over.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck with all of your merchandise.
Anyway, that's
tomorrow's the day.
Super producer Rob Speedwagon Buzz. As you're
hopefully
speaking,
we'll be calling them first.
As you're speaking of these newsmakers,
he's setting
Rob
up a call?
Has already booked them for the show.
Oh, that's great.
He's already booked them because Bernie Coppell turned him down.
So the mayor of hell and Tom Gavin in a devil suit tomorrow.
May your cake always be moist.
You know how when something bad happens in the world, Pat Robertson says it's a message from God?
Mm-hmm.
Well, late last week in foggy weather, Robertson's Learjet missed the runway by half a mile and crashed in the water off Long Island. The crash injured three passengers and killed both pilots. Robertson was not on board at the time.
We'll see.
President Bush went on the radio Saturday to support a constitutional amendment that would ban gay marriage.
Let's have a fireside chat.
He's meeting this week with several anti-gay marriage groups, and he's likely to speak up about it again.
Give me an issue that's meaningless that'll distract everybody.
Exactly. Here's why none of this matters. At first, the proposal's not likely to pass the Senate. Not likely at all.
Give me Matt Farber on the phone.
And second, to quote a Newsweek source, purely political. I don't think he gives an S-word about it. A friend of Bush saying that the president really doesn't care about this issue.
I disagree.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
In this election year...
Just something tells me. I mean, come on. Don't mess with Texas.
Right.
Just something tells me down in Crawford.
Man, that ain't right.
They don't tolerate this.
Tell you what. I've seen that movie.
Seen it?
Them boys kissing.
The Brokeback Mountain.
Be no faggots getting married on my watch.
I'm going to make this... Mama, I'm going to make this another one of them movies I walk out of. There we go.
Here's the deal. In this election year...
let me just ask Mr. Bush one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
How'd you feel about the movie RV?
Man, that's a laugh riot. I sure liked it when he hung from them windshield wipers. That Robbie Williams. He's a laugh riot. He's funny. I mean, you see the one where the poop came out of the RV? I like to fall out.
What about Brokeback Mountain?
Oh, man. Past Poison. I don't know why they have to make movies like that. It's just disgusting. Disgusting. Two cowboys in cowboy hats, kissing and the like.
Right.
I tell you, bring me back John Wayne.
In the light.
I tell you, that's just no good. Brain poison is what it is.
Here's the deal. In this election year, the religious right's been telling Republicans...
Well, now that we got that cleared up...
Here he is.
...to either push through more of their moral agenda or face a boycott of the polls.
We'd like to ask you some questions.
And with things going the way they are, the last thing the Republicans need is a boycott from any group, much less the ones who got them elected.
That's not strictly true.
Al Gore's new movie about global warming only played in 77 theaters over the weekend, but in its second weekend out, the documentary An Inconvenient Truth made more money per screen than the Jennifer Aniston movie, The Breakup, in which she's briefly naked.
I saw this movie.
Yes?
Vince Vaughn is fantastic in this movie. Uh-huh. In this Al Gore movie?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
He is so good. And you mentioned Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
That normally I would say go see the movie.
Isn't the 40-year-old virgin in it, too?
Yes, in the Al Gore movie.
Yeah,
yes.
An Inconvenient Truth.
Uh-huh. Steve Carell, yes. And yes, Jennifer Aniston is naked in it, but really... Vince Vaughn is the star of this movie, Al Gore movie.
Oh, it's so good. I love the old bait and switch.
Gore's movie made this week's top 10, probably because of that all-star cast.
Wow.
Quoting the head of a box office tracking company. Listen to this.
That was just an awful, awful even premise of a joke, you know, to say that, okay, the Vince Vaughn movie, of course, was number one.
Of course.
With Jennifer Aniston. I mean, I don't mean of course, like of course, because it's a tour of force. I mean, of course, because it's already been out.
Do you think it works better if you use less famous actors? Like if you maybe threw a Harvey Keitel in there?
Is Harvey Keitel in the Jennifer Aniston movie?
No.
Try to just think of any movie out now that's hot.
No, see, I'm going the total opposite direction of taking Mr. Wolf and putting him in the Al Gore's movie.
What about Al Gore and Jamel Farrar?
Jamie Farr?
What's his
name?
Jamel Farrar.
Jamel Farrar, Jamie Farr from Toledo, Ohio.
Well, quoting the head of a box office tracking company, this is a beautiful quote, too. I love this. He says, okay. It's breakups and global warming that I think are really interesting people now. The head of a box office company.
He's a regular Leonard Maltin.
Believe the secret to this weekend's box office success were people's interest in breakups and global warming.
Well, you know, if the world gets warmer, then Jennifer Aniston takes off more clothing.
You know what would make a good movie? Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah.
What if it really happened? That's her story when we come back.
Right.
You're aware, of course, that there is a movie.
Yeah. Another bad joke.
Premise for a joke.
It's right. Path of the Righteous Snake.
Okay, we'll be right back, everybody.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show. Number 15 Arbitron rated, Don and Mike Show.
Shut up with that. It's gone up all the time.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Oh, everybody is talking about the show.
It's
huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, they see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Hit me.
Today, perform tonight, The Don and Mike Show.
Bunks, you don't jump in. I'll just sit here and I'll just keep going. Bum, bum, bum.
Well, you know, if they were going to make a Snakes on the Plane movie, maybe it could be based on what happened in Monty Cole's airplane just after he took off from Cross Lanes, West Virginia, just outside of Charleston.
Monty.
Monty was cruising at a low altitude over the rich countryside, and a 4.5-foot-long black snake peered up at him from beneath the instrument panel.
Can't really hurt you.
At 62 years of age, Monty remembered what his instructor had told him 25 years ago. No matter what happens, keep flying the airplane.
Right, this is Robert the Mailman.
Black snake.
So that's...
As opposed to white snake.
Here I go again on my own. Wake up!
So flying the airplane is exactly what Monty did as the snake coiled up the stick and then up around his arm.
Oh, wow.
Monty radioed ahead to the nearest airport in Ohio. After landing safely, there were people on the ground ready to remove the snake from Monty's arm.
Is there a chance, not that this movie needs it, because... Snakes on a Plane already has the greatest underground following.
Yes. You think Hollywood conspiracy story?
Maybe.
I believe Hollywood does this all the time.
Maybe, although on the other hand, Snakes on a Plane is really a movie that doesn't need any PR.
No, but I mean, this is the kind of sneaky thing they I think they do it all the time.
But the movie's it's a passenger jet, you know, full of people,
matter.
And this is just
a
one guy in his little private plane
but
out of West
really,
Virginia.
You know, sometimes I take issue, as you know, with your cynicism. This is one where I think your instincts are right on. They do this. I think they do this.
For about 6 weeks out from the opening of the movie with Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
And, I mean, do a Google search. Go ahead, Snakes on a Plane.
It's all over.
There's got to be 10,000 fan sites for a movie that's never come out.
Right.
Based just on the title.
Do you think the pilot was in on it or just some producer hit a snake on a plane?
Sheldon Finkelstein out at some rural airport. Now put it in the hold. Wonderful.
You know what would make a good TV show?
What?
Bad plastic surgeries. HBO is all over it. It's prepared an hour-long documentary called okay. Plastic Disasters to show the flip side of those extreme makeover shows.
I am not an animal.
Oh. Now that I'll watch.
One woman who went in for a simple procedure now looks like the victim of a shark attack.
What a welcome, everybody, to my show.
Hey, Jackie Stallone.
Thanks for joining me. What network's it on?
HBO, Jackie.
HBO. Uh-huh. No commercials.
For right.
The birds, isn't it?
It's for the birds. It won't make an effing dime.
It's not just TV.
No, it's HBO. The home box office.
That's right, Jackie.
I tell you, one thing on HBO that I don't dig.
Wow. My navel on my earlobe.
Oh, Jackie. And they ran it before The Sopranos last week, I guess, maybe. Right. Whatever the Iraq show is, the Baghdad.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
Baghdad Cafe. What's
the thing is, it's too real. It's not a situation comedy, obviously, and it's not a reality show, per se.
Right.
I mean, it's in high definition, so you know, I watched it, but like, yuck, we're still fighting the war. I don't need to see guys getting their arms blown off and guys laying there being all busted up before I'm supposed to. It's like, I think, and maybe the time slot has something to do with the way I felt about it.
Right.
They ran it at 8 o'clock,
right.
Leading into The Sopranos at 9 o'clock. So it's like, if nothing else is on at 8, you turn on HBO and you go, okay, we'll see it. And it's like, Jesus Christ, depressing.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's really going on, right?
Depressing.
You don't need a drama about something. I mean, I know they did that in World War II. You had movies about World War II. And I know they did it, during other conflicts, but it's still... There's something about this one. Maybe the fact that they're not really telling us everything.
However, the show on HBO that I've seen the commercials for that looks good,
right.
That show Lucky Louie, which is like a fake sitcom, that looks to me like they might be on the right track. Right.
Where are you on the Bill Paxton with the 16 Wives movie? I watched it once.
Big Love. Nobody seems to like that show.
No, thank you.
Gross.
Yeah. No, thank you.
A lot of his ass in it. Just thought I'd share that. Yeah. You know, and that made me come back a second time, but after that, I just didn't like the plot.
When we come back, Indecent Exposure season is officially open.
Oh, okay, thank you, Buzz. Be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting Butterball Naked, Don Geronimo and Michael Mera.
As always, and once again, here's our friend Buzz. Howdy, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
All husbands and wives. Millie Edwards of Fulton, Missouri, got married when she was 17. Now that she's 35, she has some issues.
Hello, Millie.
When her husband was in the hospital recently, she injected a petroleum-based household cleaner into her husband's IV.
Oh, no.
It's called Oops. She's now facing 15 years on assault charges.
Ooh.
In England recently, Carl Dowen of West Bromwich was sentenced to life in prison for killing his girlfriend over a burnt steak.
Where was this?
West Bromwich, England.
England can kiss my ass.
Thank you.
They both got drunk. She burned his steak. He threw it away. She scolded him for wasting meat. They argued. One thing led to another. He stabbed her 32 times.
And she burned me meat.
And the problem is?
I'm just reporting. You decide. I report, you decide.
Where's the news?
Finally.
Where's the news in that story?
Look at that. Look at that. The wench burned me meat.
And this is the time of year we get a lot of stories about flashers. The weather's warm enough now, the pants have started coming off.
Mike, leave your shirt on.
Most of us wouldn't dream of doing such a thing, but in case you do, know this.
It
will not end well, Mike.
Mike, don't undo your pants.
In New Jersey, it will not end well. In New Jersey, 40-year-old John Kelly jumped out of some bushes wearing nothing but a condom as a woman jogged by.
Yeah.
Shockingly, she did not stop and partake.
I swear to God, he's taking his pants off.
I am not. I was rebuckling.
RV.
Buckling and unbuckling.
He's a fag.
Thank you, Tony.
Turns out the woman, the jogger, he tried to follow wearing nothing but a condom. It turns out she was an off-duty cop. She maced him while calling 911. He's going to jail for a year.
Good.
In Waynesboro, Virginia, a newspaper delivery gal saw a flasher down by the Kmart. He stood there wearing nothing but shoes and socks. Quoting the woman, he leaned against a tree like he was proud of what he had, but she says he had nothing to be proud of.
Oh.
Quoting her, it was very warm. You'd think by looking at him it was cold out.
Oh, I get it.
I just started laughing. She says I couldn't help it.
Teeny weeny.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Shit, we got live. Leave it with Chris Gaines tonight. Available only at Walmart. Right, Garth? We gotta go. See you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And you?
I have got to go home and rinse out a pair of socks.
Got to. See you tomorrow.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.